strong, I'm on that strong bodybuilder. Like that shit and pass it. My white girl on that acid. For me, I'm on that Kush. That Kush. Don't you?
And I got a big bouquet of Mary Jane flowers.
Yeah,
Mary Jane flowers. Mary Jane flowers.
Don't play
for me. And I got a big bouquet of Mary Jane flowers. Mary Jane flowers. Mary Jane flowers.
That Kush.
Yeah. Hold up. You know what I'm saying? Let me get everything set over here. Welcome to the show. I like that joint by Gunplay, though. You know what I'm saying? That Kush joint. What am I about to pause for the calls? Hold up. Stop. Welcome, everybody, to K100 Radio. I'm Blizzard, man. And I'm going to be your host for tonight. And we're having a discussion tonight. We're talking about here. On K100 Radio. I recently, of course, you know, everybody knows about all the stuff that's recently happened with T.I.'s artist Dobi being gunned down. And this particular segment that we're going to do, this live roundtable discussion, which you're all welcome to join in and hit the phone lines and talk to me about, 347-934-0966. That's the number to our switchboard. You can call me right now. 347-934-0966. That's the number to our switchboard. We got a couple people on the phone lines, and we're going to make sure I get to them immediately. But basically, what's going on, you know, in hip-hop, I wrote a blog today, and it's called Rap Kills. And on the blog, I addressed, you know, a couple of different things. You know, the main thing being about how dangerous being a hip-hop artist has become. Now, I'm going to open up the phone lines. We're going to open up the discussion about it, you know, and we're going to talk about it. But the one thing that I want to make sure that everybody's clear on, you know, and I'm gonna read a couple of excerpts from the article itself, so you guys can, you know, see what's going on. Mm. But what I want you to understand is I'm focusing on hip hop as a profession, and I know a lot of people are gonna want to chime in and they're gonna want to talk about the lyrics in hip hop, how violent the lyrics are, and all this kind of, you know, and everything that's going on with black people, black men. You know what I'm saying? Black women. Eventually the conversation will undoubtedly veer in that direction because it is, you know, all tied together. I can't deny that, you know, all of it is tied together. So in order, I'd be crazy to try to like separate them only, but so much. But I'm really trying to focus on the fact that being a rapper, being a hip hop artist as a profession, regardless, right? Of what you rap about, regardless of where you're from, it still is a highly dangerous occupation. And it has, yes, a lot to do with what you say, but it also has to do with where you have to go, has to do with the people that you have to deal with in that profession, and other things outside of what you're talking about. We know we can go back and forth all day, and I'm pretty sure once I go to the phone lines, we're going to have a whole bunch of people telling me, look, Blizzard, you can't sit here and try to justify, you know, all the shit that rappers say when they talk about guns and blah, blah, blah. Listen, I'm going to stop you right there before we even get to that point. I know that, all right? There, you're not telling me nothing that I don't know. Okay, I understand that we have to be held accountable, sort of kind of accountable for what you say and what you speak into existence, even beyond rap. All right, even beyond rap, that's just the universe, the way the universe works. Karma, whatever you believe in, you know what I'm saying? What you speak into existence can, you know, your mentality, your attitude, the way you think, it has a lot to do with all of that. You feel me? So I understand, you know, that matters, that what you say, if you walk around talking about pistols and you the hardest nigga out and blah, 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 and all this kind of shit, you know what I'm saying? Then you know, cats want to test you because you say that because they feel like they're the hardest out, and then you collide. I understand that brings it about, but even still, you know, because people can go around and say that kind of stuff and not be rappers and still aren't in as much of a risk of actually being confronted and getting into a violent confrontation and being killed. You know, you got to think about it. You know, this is at the end of the day, entertainment, you know, because I would argue the point, and I'm coming to the phone lines. Let me get my point out of the way, and I'm coming to the phone lines. I would argue the point that no one yet today, after I posted up my blog, and people commenting on it, and people commenting on my Facebook page or whatever. No one on the blog said, well, shit, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know what I'm saying, it's highly likely that Arnold Schwarzenegger, even though he's killed a million people in the movie, you know what I'm saying, as he's been the Terminator in four movies, whatever, no one ever even would think that he's going to die by the hand of gun violence. Now, I know people are going to say, that's not the same thing, Blizzum. Music is different. Music is different. And you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I understand. But you've got heavy metal rock bands that rap violent shit. Angry lyrics. Really mad. Smashing their guitars into pieces of shit. You feel me? On the stage. Really violent. Just way past what we would call, you know, turned up. Way past turned up. They're on a whole other level of turned up. You understand what I'm saying? But and they rap all kind of crazy. And they sing, I guess if you call that singing what they do, they sing about all kind of violent, destructive shit too. But you don't assume, or it's not a high probability, that these guys will be killed. The common denominator that I mentioned, and I'm just going to read a quick excerpt from the blog. The common denominator in the rappers is two things. One, that they're rappers, and two, that most of them are black. You feel me? There are plenty of white rappers, but none of the white rappers have gotten killed yet. You know what I'm saying? Not that I recall. Is there a white rapper that really matters at this point that got killed? If I'm missing them, you guys make sure you hit me up and let me know. 347-934-0966. That's the number to dial to the show. 347-934-0966. That's the number to dial to the show. And I read, you know, I'm not going to read the whole blog because it's really way too long. You know, I say in it, if you know me, or even just to kind of, if you kind of know me from social networks or whatever, you know that it kind of hurts for me to actually say this. You know, for years verbally on this broadcast and more recently in my blogs, I've defended the art and the artists against the constant criticism that links rap to violence. You know, I was the voice of reason, the one that kept yelling, artists can't be held responsible for the actions of some lunatic with a gun, you know. But I had an epiphany, you know, and I realized that I was only halfway right about that argument. You know, I still say Tupac can't make you open fire on the police just because he said he ain't afraid of the punk police in the record. You know what I'm saying? Rap doesn't make you kill. That's still my stance. But what I realize now is that simply being a rapper can get you killed. That's what I realize now. The rap game is a lot more dangerous than people care to admit, you know, frankly. And we have always tried to equate the lyrics in the rap as the culprit behind the violence that surrounds the genre. But, you know, all this time, you know, it was right in our face. It's not the lyrics. It's just being a rapper. Artists are targets. Period, point blank. I want to make sure I say that again. The artists, we're targets. We always have been, and really we always will be, as long as we on this pedestal that we are put in and surrounded by a group of people who have less. And that's the position that you put in as a rapper, especially one like Doe B, who was on the rise, right? The recent death of Doe B is simply just the latest example of the hazard of being a rapper. You know what I'm saying? It's if we count the amount of shootings that no one was even hit or death threats were made on rappers, you know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure, you know, outside of being in Afghanistan during wartime or Iraq, it's probably more dangerous to be a rapper than it is to be an army soldier. Seriously, you know what I'm saying? Now, Of course, I know there's a lot of deeper issues at play, and we're going to talk about that. One of the other, one of the other things that I said everybody has in common is their skin color. And I could go on and on about the fact that almost all these shootings and murders were carried out by other black males. You know what I'm saying? Being a rapper probably increases the chances of you being a victim of black-on-black crime by thousands of times over, you know? But if I go down that path, again, this discussion will veer all the way to the left. And this is not where I want it to go. I wanted to focus on just the profession of being an MC. You know what I'm saying? And so here, I'm going to go open up the phone lines. We got a couple people on the phone lines that want to talk. And I'll let these guys say what they want to say. And we can go back and forth. If you know anybody that would like to join into the discussion, 347-934-0966. That's the number to dial to the show. Of course, you can hear us live right now on TuneIn Radio on your mobile phone app. If you got a smartphone, you can go to chainlessentertainment.com/K100radio. My chat is actually open over at chainlessentertainment.com. So if you can't actually speak, you know, or talk to me, if you go to chainlessentertainment.com, actually the chat room is open. It's over on the right sidebar. You can talk to me that way via the chat. I'll be checking the chat You can also hit me up on Twitter. I'm going to be looking at Twitter right now. So if you're listening to the discussion and you feel like you want to tweet me or whatever, or chime in about what we have to say, I'll read your tweet out loud on the air. But first, let me go ahead and take up calls. Let's see. 404-587. Welcome to Cable 100 Radio. Who's this?
What's going on with you, Blizzum?
What's going on? Who's this?
Jalen Superstar. How are you?
How are you doing? Welcome, Jalen. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it, babe.
You know I had to come in and check you out.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to the show. Shouts out to everybody that's calling in, and shouts out to everybody that's just listening. You know, like I said, the floor is open. And this wasn't even a planned show. I kind of decided about 2 hours ago, I was going to open up the phone lines because some people like to talk and they can't type or they don't want to Facebook it too tough. So I decided to go ahead and open up the phone lines and kind of just give the floor to the people. But anyway, what do you think, first of all, Jalen, about, do you think that being a rapper is dangerous? Not about what you rap about, no matter what you rap about. Do you feel as though being a rapper, period, is a dangerous profession? Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think that it's a dangerous profession, and I think that that is by design. But before I even get into that, I want to thank you for even putting this on the forum for tonight and allowing people to express their thoughts and also putting it in a context where they can't deviate from the topic.
Right.
You know, it's not about what's going on in African-American community. It's not about the content of the lyrics. We're talking about specifically if you choose the genre of rap as your profession.
Right.
And you label yourself a rapper.
Right.
We're not talking about Flo Rida as a hip-hop artist. We're not talking about the hip-hop artists who've excelled. We're talking about specifically the word rap. It's negative, comes with a negative connotation, and it comes with a certain level of insecurities that you have to watch out for, and that companies should advise their artists that it is a dangerous profession overall, and you can get killed for something as simple as a piece of candy because of the type of people that gravitate to that job. It's just like when I was a police officer. That comes with a certain level of danger. You know what you're going into. But a lot of these rappers are coming right out of their mom's house with milk still on the top of their lip, and they don't realize if they say something that makes another person insecure, or if you say something that is ambiguous, the person sitting next to you may not have the same level of intellect. They may not have the same upbringing, and what you did may have put them in a position to feel threatened, and they'll take your life for it.
Basically, and you just topped. I'm glad you said so many things you said a couple of things that I mentioned in the blog, and a couple of things that I didn't mention in the blog that actually came up after the fact. You know, today on my social media pipeline, and the one thing that you mentioned was labels should train and tell their artist about that. This is what's crazy about the whole thing. This is why I want people to focus on what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. Rap as a profession. What other job do you go to that no one actually at the company who pays you really trained you? See, the thing about rap is they groom you to be an artist, but that's it. They don't even really do that anymore. The days of artist development are pretty much done. It's like they want
not
you to
at
always...
our company. It's not. It's not completely done. I can tell you right now, I have a cousin in South Carolina who's a producer who's very successful, and I have another one who's just recently moved to the state of Georgia so that he can work with me. And because he's my blood family member, and I believe he's probably somewhere about to call in on this line because we all watch you, we've read your blog, we watch and follow your movement. So, gee whiz, he's in artist development right now, and I can tell you, I hope he's listening to this, because if he is, he will tell you, with my background being in industrial security, I am so hard on him when it comes to protecting himself, protecting his entourage, paying attention to what's going on in your environment, you know, not being the first one of guns ring out in the nightclub. Well, then hit the ground. You don't go and look to see what's going on unless you just decided to be super rapper and you have on some bulletproof hoodies or something. I don't know. But a lot of people think and gravitate towards negativity. So when we see a fight, we're in a digital age. Everybody want to catch it on their phone. Everybody want to Instagram. They're screaming, world star, world star. Well, while you're doing those things, you have other people around you. You have families. You have to protect yourself, and it may not be the best decision to run towards the drama, especially if there's gunshots ringing out in a club. You should be going the opposite direction. But we have been programmed to move towards the negative, so we don't even know any better. We go right in trying to get the sensational part of the fight and be a part of that madness, and it should be the opposite. In addition to that, also making certain that when you speak with people, you have high integrity and you're telling the truth.
Uh-huh.
Even if you don't know what the answer is, you should also be in a position to be honest about what you know and what you don't know, because that is another reason why a person from a different demographics, a different part of the population, may see you as being a threat to them, or that they don't trust your movements, you looking snaky, you looking swirlish, and they're gonna light you up for it.
So you
they're gonna
think
light
that,
you up, they're gonna wet you up.
Do you think that the label should put, someone asked, and as far as your company and the label goes, do you think that, because someone said, man, the labels should automatically send security out with people in art and should automatically, you know, include that into the whatever. I said, well, at the end of the day, that's going to be part of a budget. And that's going to be something that's going to be recouped from the artist anyway. So it's really the artist paying for their own damn security, because anything the label pays for, they recoup back in the real world, in the real music industry. And we all know that. Anybody who knows anything
about
it.
I'm going to take the approach, Blizzom, on that it takes a village to raise a child, and it takes an entire industry to jump off a project in a digital age. So with that being said, you don't necessarily need a budget from your label to give you security. You know, what you need to do is make sure that your managers put security in your rider, and the promoters need to be responsible, and that they need to have security with you, escorting you to and from your hotel, to and from wherever your destination is.
That's the problem.
And making that a part of the budget on that level. And then also educating the artists themselves on how to protect their family, loved ones, and their entourage.
How do you protect? Let me ask you this.
Let me also say this. I don't think the label is ever going to stop to take a look at what's going on in our community as it relates to the genre of rap and rappers, and say we need to give them more security versus, oh, we just got a great story. Mace the rapper just got shot down. That's more sensational. They're going to sell more albums. They don't care. Our lives are expendable. And you know that, Blizzom. I know that. You know that.
I know that. But listen, Daylin, there's a couple of things. You keep hitting so many points, and I want to make sure I address some of the stuff you're saying. First of all, you said that you want to put this on the promoters and the club and the venues. You want to put it in the rider. I would argue 100% against that. And let me tell you why. Because most of the time that this shit goes down in these clubs, to be honest with you, it's the lack of security and the lack of security that the venue and the security has at the venue. The venue, especially in these small town hood clubs like the one that Doe B got shot at, where, you know, you probably know the shooter. You probably went to school with the homie, and if you don't even like this dude anyway, or if you need a little bit of money, you can get paid a lot, and I can slip you $200 and let me walk through the line without getting frisked. Most of the time, that's the problem. I don't think this should be on the venues or the promoters, because the venues and the promoters, especially at some of these hood spots, are indeed the problem. I'm from a small town. I'm from a small town with a small town hood club that I grew up in, and it's gangster. People, it's been plenty of shootings. It's been shut down, open up, change names, just like the Rose. You feel me? People have caught strays. People have died in the parking lot and got shot inside the club. It's still open right now, okay? I'm from a place that has a club like the Rose. And what I'm trying to tell you is, I don't think that should even be. If you're an artist and you're a label and you want to protect your investment, if you care, now we can argue about whether or not they actually care, like you just said, but at the end of the day, putting it on the venue, that's the last thing you want to do, because they don't even know the artist, and they really don't give a shit. They care about money. Security don't know this nigga. He worried about the $200. This nigga just gave him, this dope boy just gave him to let him come into the club with a pistol without getting freaks. That's what he cares.
Well, you know, Blizzom, you know you're my bro, so you know I love you. But I'm going to make sure you quote me accurately. What I said was, I'm going to take the approach that it takes a village to raise a child, and in that case, it takes an entire industry to protect a rapper. I believe that was close to the gist of my statement. And so based on that, being artist manager, the only things that are in my control is to make certain that when I negotiate a booking for an artist that I factor in security. I'm never going to leave it up to a local security joke, a local joke, a security person who may not even have the degree that I have in industrial security from the University of New Mexico to protect my artist.
Right.
But I will make certain that it's in the rider, that there's a budget for it, so that we can bring security with us from Atlanta to their venue. And I wholeheartedly agree. You should never trust local security with your investment totally. You have to bring someone with you. So in that case, we're both, I believe we're both saying the same thing, and I agree with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you actually taking the time out, you know what I'm saying, and calling in and engaging in the discussion. I really like having people, you know, that are actually in the industry, you know, call in and talk about it. I'm looking forward to, you know, more industry people hitting the phone lines tonight and actually, you know, talking to me about, you know, the topic, because at the end of the day, whether you're an artist or not, or if you're a manager, a producer, because whatever, if you're involved in the industry, at some point, there would be no industry without the artist. So at the end of the day, if we don't protect the artist, nobody's getting paid. No one's booking shows. No one's coming to venues. None of that is going to go down if the artists are not safe. If the artists keep getting killed, you know what I'm saying, and making it, you know, that's going to mess up the money. Now, of course, like you said, I do believe, and we're going to have some more people call in, I'm pretty sure, to say, well, look, Blizzum, you know what I'm saying? That's the whole point, is they make more money when a rapper gets shot. You feel me? It's press. You know, it's more people checking. It's more people talking about that artist. I'm pretty sure as popular as Dobie was, I know for a fact, and I'm almost 1,000% sure without having accurate numbers, that he has been talked about more than ever in his career, in his death, and that always happens. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I still feel like people have to understand, it's not just I'm talking about the rappers and I'm talking about being a rapper, but understand, if you are in the music industry, it would behoove you to understand what I'm saying and listen to and engage in the discussion tonight, because if that's what you're trying to do for a living, if artists keep getting knocked off, you know what I'm saying, it's going to hit your pockets. I don't care who you are, at whatever level
you
of the
know,
game.
You you're absolutely right, Blizzum, and I know you watched me and I know you saw the post that I wrote about the Rhodes Club. I hate that club. And I've had to walk in that club with artists, and literally I will not go back into that club. The last time I was in that club, I legally had to carry in a firearm, a semi-automatic weapon, into the club just to protect the artists while they're performing. Does that
right.
make sense? No.
Right.
But we didn't
right.
have a choice. We were already there. I didn't know how ghetto it was and how dangerous it was. But
right.
I haven't been back.
Right, and at that point, how many times, you know, do you wonder, you know what I'm saying, does a hard, even I wouldn't even say pop artist, because that's just not even the crowd, but a hard rock artist, that's like, you know, hard heavy metal, those guys draw some rowdy, violent types, but how many times do they have to really literally bring a chopper or a pistol in the club to protect themselves? And of course, we'll get into whether or not this is a black thing. Is this a, because I got everybody that was hitting me up today was like, yo, this ain't got nothing to do with hip-hop, it's nigga shit. That's what they're saying.
It's by design. It's by design by the record labels. And while we're harping on it being by design, it is also by design. By the age of 27, a rap career is over. They don't want you to excel. They don't want you to be an LL. They don't want you to be a Jay-Z, because you're going to make more money just like in every genre of music as you get older. The rap industry is designed to cut our rappers down by the age of 27, 30. You're either dead or gone. And that's it. I mean, that's how I feel. That's what we've seen over the years.
Yeah, interesting. I think you're right. Let me go, because I got other people waiting, so I don't want to keep people on hold too long, and I want to make sure everybody talks. Thank you for calling in. I'm glad you joined in the discussion. Of course, this is going to be recorded, and it'll be available, you know, on our site, on our Blog Talk Radio site. I might actually take the audio and put it on the main website also. I didn't plan on it, but I might actually go to that, you know, and you know, because I think it's a discussion that people need to hear. So, you know, I'm pretty sure people want to hear it back, the replay, on the main site also.
If anybody's trying to get at me, Superstar Management, 404-587-3504, or you can hit me up on any social network at Stop Jalen. That's STOPJLYN, the other four letters.
Absolutely. Make sure you hit her up. Say it one more time, Jalen. I want to make sure they can contact you. Go ahead.
Stop Jalen, STOP JLYN is my social networking handle, and our number is 404-587-3504.
All right. Thank you for calling in, Jalynn. Always happy to hear
you're
from
welcome.
Industry professionals, you know, especially on topics like this, because this is kind of what I made the platform for stuff like this. It's really, really important part of K100. So thanks for calling in, all right?
All right. Bye.
All right. Next up, 843-640. And after this, we got 404-344. By the way, I want to make sure I mention it. Anybody that's calling in, we got a couple people phone lines. You should be aware that if you want to actually talk to me, if you actually want me to come to your phone line, you have to press the number 1 on your keypad. On your keypad, press the number 1, and it's going to say you are now in the host queue. It should say you are now in the host queue. If it says you're now off the host queue, that means you don't want to talk. So make sure you press the number 1. It should say you're now in the host queue. That lets me know that you actually want to talk. If not, I'll assume you're just tuning into the show and you just want to listen. You feel me? Yeah, there it is. So a couple of y'all just pressed the number 1. So, right, it should say you are now on the host queue, and that's going to let me know that you actually want to talk and you want to engage in the discussion, and you're not just someone that's kind of just listening on the phone lines. You know what I'm saying? Okay, a couple of you guys. So I make sure I get to everybody now, because most of you guys just pressed the number 1. I'm pretty sure some of you didn't know that. So make sure you press the number 1, and it's going to say you're now in the host queue, on the host queue. And that means you want to talk, and that lets me know on my switchboard this person has a comment, they want to say something. All right, thank you very much for doing that. I should have said that in the beginning, because a couple of you guys have been sitting here for a minute. All right, and we take the calls in the order that they were received. Thank you very much. 843-475. Welcome to K100 Radio. You're rocking with Blizzard. Thanks for tuning in for our live discussion tonight about the dangers of being a hip hop artist. Who am I speaking to?
Hey, how's it going, Blizzard? Mr. KG Wiz, man. You know I'm always calling in to support the movement.
Absolutely, homie. Thank you for calling into the show. Appreciate it. So what do you think about the discussion thus far, man? As an artist, you're an artist. You feel me? Do you feel
yes,
you feel like you got a dangerous job, homie? Do you feel like you got a dangerous job?
Absolutely, man. Being in the industry for as long as I have this year, I've experienced a lot of things, man, and it's taught me that you have to be careful, man. This is nothing to play with. You know what I'm saying? Anything that you do can change your life, and man, I was actually in a situation myself where I was, you know, working at a studio, and the studio got robbed while I was there, you know.
Wow.
Not because of anything I've done, but because of somebody before, and because I was in a situation, just being there, if I didn't handle it the right way, you know, it could have gone any amount of ways, you know what I mean? But you know what I'm saying, God was with me that night. But just the fact that can happen at any moment, if you're not paying attention, just lets you know that this is real, you know?
Absolutely, man. So you touched on, I'm glad I came to your phone call, because you touched on something that I actually mentioned in the article. Another thing, you feel me? We've got, let me see, 404-587. I got you coming up next. Stand by. But you talked, it's another thing that you talked about. And someone mentioned about studios. Okay, this is what I'm trying to tell everybody. Everybody's like, man, well, rappers be talking about all this shit, and they be in the club in the hood. They set themselves up for that. Look, homie. First of all, let's examine how many people have been killed in a studio. You feel what I'm saying? And how many people have been killed outside of the studio? Tupac notoriously was shot. He wasn't at the club, and the first time he got shot, that sparked a whole massive beef. Was leaving the studio, all right? Jam Master J killed in the studio. The studio is one of the most dangerous places, especially when you're dealing with hood studios and hood niggas in studios. You feel what I'm saying? But
yeah.
people want to put it on the club, and they say, man, it's the club. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's being a rapper as a profession. It's not about necessarily the club all the time. You feel me? Although a lot of stuff happens at the club, whatever, and like I just said, the security at the venue often is the main person that's responsible and is the main person where the slip-up happens. It's mostly because somebody knows somebody at the door and he shoot his homie $100 or whatever to skip the frisk or whatever, and then some beat pop off in the club. Everybody got their hands ready to squab, and one nigga got a pistol. It's a no-win. You're done. You already beat.
Right.
Out top, unless you can get that gun out of their hand. You already at a huge disadvantage, whether it be gun, knife, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, but what you said about studio being robbed is really, really important, and people don't understand. I talked to someone on another radio show yesterday, and also when in the blog I said every time I go to a studio, a black owned studio, not every time, but most of the time, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia, so it's you could throw a rock and hit a rapper in a studio in Atlanta. basically. That's how it is here. This is the music mecca, basically. So everything in my music is always around. Every time I go to a studio, you know what I'm saying, where it's mostly, where it's black owned, there's weed smoke in the air and everything, it's 9 out of 10 times somebody in here, a couple people got a pistol on them. You feel what I'm saying? A couple people got a pistol on them. You know what I'm saying? And it makes you, as a rapper, artist, as a person who cares, who got two kids to feed himself, I carry a gun. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like if I'm going to be going into this kind of environment, which I have to, because these are my peers, this is where the hot producer I want to work with at, this is the atmosphere or whatever that I need to, or this is the price that I can afford, or whatever reason I'm at that studio, I don't want to be the only person in there without a gun in case niggas get to fighting over a piece of fucking Big Red.
You got that right.
You feel what I'm saying? So now I got my pistol, he got his pistol, and motherfuckers is like one argument away from everybody dying or somebody dying. And that's rap. That's hip-hop. You feel what I'm saying? That's the atmosphere. And I'm trying to tell people it's the profession of being a rapper. It's more than just the club. It's just everything, the places that you got to be, the shit you got to do to make it in the rap game is dangerous. You be in dangerous places, but that's what you have. You have to go to these studios, right?
Right.
You have to record, right? You have to be in these places. You feel me?
Right.
Go ahead and say what you want to say. Go ahead.
And just to piggyback on what you're saying, man, and not only is it the profession, but it's the perception of the profession as well. Because this studio I was at was in a good area, you know what I'm saying? There's usually never any problems there. And just the fact that the people who are in the studio carry a certain, you know, vibe about them, or because they rap and what people hear about rappers and stuff, that follows them. So the people around them, whether they know you or not, they just assume automatically, you know, oh, he's a rapper, he got money, he probably got guns, I need to go in there if I don't like him or whatever and just do what I need to do. As opposed to just, you know what I mean, they don't even really know most of us as artists. They just know our music, our material. So they assume we're a certain way and they go in there with that same type of vibe and they bring it. I'm telling you, man, so much stuff could have happened in that situation. I was just fortunate to see what was happening and what was going on to avoid it. They had guns and everything, you know. You can only do so much by yourself. So you
right.
have to be prepared for these situations. I just want to urge that to every artist out there, man. Like, really pay attention to who's around you and these vibes, man, so that you don't get in these situations and it be the end of your life, end of your career. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just speaking from my heart on that one. You really don't
right.
want to lose yourself and everything that you have planned just because you weren't prepared because somebody else was feeling some type of way. Just be aware of that perception, man, because it follows you everywhere you go.
Absolutely, man. Well, you know, thanks for calling in. Shouts out to the homie G-Wiz. I'm going to go to the next caller. You feel me? We've got one of his joints over here, you know what I'm saying, in rotation over here, so you can listen to some of his music. Tell people where else maybe they can get a couple of your records, homie.
Yes, sir, man. Make sure you call in and request that everywhere. G-Wiz Can't Turn Down. You can find me on all my social networks at G-Wiz-SC, at G-E-E-W-I-Z-S-C. I do production, studio engineering, graphic design, all your needs, man. I got you right here. Shout out to Blizzard and K100 Radio. They always hold me down, and I'm always going to support. One love.
Absolutely. Next up. 347-934-0966. That's the number to dial to the show. 443-44 is on deck. After that, we got 843-640-443-88-678-656. All right? You guys, hang on. You know what I'm saying? Hit me up. Let me know. If you know anybody that you feel is like should be involved in the discussion, shout out to everybody that's listening online right now, whether it be at ChainlessEntertainment.com or listening to me on TuneIn. You feel me? I really appreciate the support. Shout out to everybody, you know, who may be listening on, hit me up on Twitter. Shout out to anybody that's over in the chat room. You feel me? Like I said, the discussion of the night on K100 Radio, we're discussing basically the premise of a blog that I made. And, of course, if you haven't read the blog, I really hope that you can because I really expressed a lot of put a lot of thought and effort into it. You feel me? So I hope that you can read the blog over at ChainlessEntertainment.com. Just click on the No Chaser blog tab, and you can read it. It's called Rap Kills. And tonight we're talking about how dangerous, literally just how dangerous it is to be a rapper. All right? 44344, welcome to K100. What's popping?
Hi, what's up? How you doing tonight? Not much. I wanted to just say how much I appreciate you putting a blog up and everything, and I listen to you. Of course, y'all got me over there. My name is Cream. Y'all play me a lot over there in K100, and I want to say appreciate that so much.
Thank you, thank you. So, what do you feel about the discussion? Do you feel okay? Well, you're a female artist, right? You're a female artist, right? So that's even that's a whole nother dynamic in it. Do you feel like you have a dangerous profession as a female rapper?
At first, I did not, and unfortunately, today I was put. It was almost as if I was backed up into a corner. And let me just say this right quick. You know, in the industry is the industry. If you want the industry, you got to work and look for the industry. But if you want the game is more like the street hustle. It's more like the drug game. And the game, somebody somewhere is going to lose. So it depends on, to me, from my perspective, it depends on how a person perceives it. In my career, I feel like, you know, I can be that A-list artist. I can be where that Beyonce is or that Nicki Minaj is or, you know, on that to that caliber. Or I can put myself on a level to where I can be a hood chick and I'm repping the streets and I'm a carry a gun and I'm a be harder than the guys that is out here. So I feel as if though my thought and what I perceive of the industry to be is what's gonna follow me in it. You know, there's a lot of people unfortunately is trying to bring the drug game over into the rap game in quotation marks, but it's not a game. It's a job. It's the industry. And I was asked one day, Cream, why you don't pop no bottles? Cream, why you don't smoke weed? Because if I have to show up to anybody else's job, I know good and hell well I cannot go there intoxicated. So why would I be intoxicated at my own job? This is my brand. Why would I pop a bottle while I'm working? You know, it doesn't mix with me. It doesn't mix. So, unfortunately, it's the labels. It's what people perceive this to be. And I never thought in a million years of being a rap artist or a school teacher would be dangerous. I never thought that in a million years a person can kiss their kids, see you later, you know, when you get out of school, and the next time they're seeing them, it's in the morgue. You know, it's almost as if, you know, where do we get a grip? Where do we find ourselves in this as artists, as professionals? This is my job. I have a family to take care of. I don't expect to go out there to a club and promote and not come back home and see my family. You know, I'm not out there to hurt you. I'm not out there to make you feel no little or belittle you than what is already going through a person's head. I'm not there to make a person, you know, make a person insecure. I feel like God has blessed me with a skill, with a talent, and I'm utilizing this talent in order to feed my family. I'm not trying to hurt nobody. But if a person see me, that's not what they feel. Oh, that's Cream. I'm not going to speak to her. Oh, she good. She's fine in the underground right now. I'm not going to say anything to her. But I still walk up to, hey, how are you? How was your day? You know, what's going on with you? Let's chop it up for a minute. You so understand? Because you don't know me. You only go by what you're hearing about me.
So do you think that is
you understand
what I'm
saying?
I understand what you're saying. So you bring up a point, and I want to ask you this then as an artist. Do you think a lot of rappers end up in violent situations because of an attitude that they feel like they have to have? Because you meet a lot of rappers who, like, you know what I'm saying, they feel like they don't, you know, they don't want to talk to people or whatever. Do you feel like it's an attitude that the artists have? I would argue that no matter what kind of attitude a rapper has, it still puts them in. Even if they're nice, they could be a nice guy. They could be the kind of person, because I'm a nice person. I mean, I go out and I do my thing, I still feel like I'm still a Roman target. Even because first of all, I'm still an artist actively, but even with K100 Radio, I'm still a Roman target being at K100 Radio, because I'm still in these same situations with these same events. I've been to two events in the past month, in the month of December, where I was not even in an artist capacity, but because I was in the atmosphere of hip-hop, right, of rap, you know, two fights broke out right next to me. You feel what I'm saying? And those cats could have got the shooting, you know, and I could have got hit with a stray.
Yeah.
Because I would have still been a victim of the occupation of, you know, promoting or whatever involved with hip-hop. So that's what I'm trying to say. Just hip-hop, being a rapper, being in the hip-hop, being in the music industry involved with rap, being involved with hip-hop is dangerous. I just had someone text me because they can't call in, I guess. and they're it's a promoter.
It's unfortunate.
They're texting me right now because they can't call, but they're texting me saying,
mm-hmm.
I make sure I point out that it's dangerous to even promote rap. They're a promoter, and they're saying they've been at 5 clubs this year where it was shootings, and they were the promoter, and they're saying that even if you promote a rapper, it's dangerous. If you promote so I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, is it hip-hop that's dangerous, or is it the rapper?
It's not the art, okay? It's not the art. Okay, when you come down to it in all perspective, when you think about it, this is a professional profession, a very lucrative profession, where you do not have to have a college degree, where you do not have to have a urine test, where you do not have to have, you don't have to be vetted well in order to get this job. All you got to do is be able to sell enough drugs in order to get where you need to go, or, you know, have some financial backing behind you. It comes with the credentials that it would take to work at Kroger. You're not applying for a job at Kroger. So, yes, it becomes a survival in trying to survive in what society has put out here for us.
Right.
Unfortunately, this is the type of job that all it takes is, I believe I have a few skills. A person get incarcerated, they're locked down, and they want to, you know, they enter their feelings. They want to put their feelings down on paper, but that's what they're feeling. Doesn't mean everybody is going to agree with them. So when they're up against somebody else that is perfectly skilled, well, you never know, that person might end up feeling some type of way. And because he feel or she feels some type of way, I'm finna go off on everybody. You know, that person is the reason why I'm in this situation. So let me snap. What you gonna snap for? What the hell you mad at? You know what I'm saying? So it's not hip-hop. It's the people entering into hip-hop that have the problem. Think about it. This was the stories that was being told from the cotton fields. These are stories passed down. Like my uncle told me, he was a caddy. He used to caddy behind the other golf players back in the day, or whatever. And at the end of the day, you know, they gather all the leftovers and fed them food in the shoebox top. Well, these are stories that are being passed down from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And unfortunately, it has become reckless behavior. And there is nobody to filter that behavior. And when you're in a studio, unfortunately, you got to have a security guard at the studio now. You want to act like an animal? You get treated like an animal. You know, you want to go in the club, you got to get patted down. Pat the females down, too, because you got a lot of females that are total weapon up in there for their man. When they get in the club, she handed out to them. Pat them down. I'm a woman. I'm heterosexual. Hey, it is what it is. If you need to pat me down and make sure I ain't got nothing on me, because I know you're gonna be responsible for me being up in that club.
And I'm going to go to the next call after that, because that's the problem. The problem is you saying pat me down. Well, the problem is, The security ain't take no quote on, even though the police is just as crooked. The security ain't take no oath of office. They don't owe no allegiance to nobody. They owe allegiance to the paycheck. And so when they coming up in these, when they at the doors, cat come up there, you know what I'm saying? I got $200-$300, man, here, man. I ain't trying to get patted down. You know what it is, homie. And he know this nigga from the block. He's like, whatever. I know the nigga ain't going to shoot me. Here, let me get these $200-$300. The nigga better not try them. I hope not. But if they do, I know the duck. And that's that. Let me go to the next call.
You know what I'm saying? And that's crazy. You're right about that. It's crazy. But as long as it's like that, then you know something. It's gonna continue. We're going to continue to be putting RIPs on stuff. We're going to continue to send our condolences. Somebody somewhere got to be accountable. But as far as the promoter standpoint, you know, everything go hand in hand. The artists go hand in hand with the promoter. Everybody complements each other. So there has to be enough revenue coming into that club so that the right type of security or whatever need to be there, so that everybody would be secure. Because otherwise, the club gonna get shut down, and ain't nobody gonna do nothing. Ain't nobody gonna make no money.
Just like they did out there.
I appreciate you all taking my call, and I rock with K100. I appreciate y'all putting my name up and everything. I really do appreciate y'all rocking with Cream. You know, you guys have been supportive of me, and I support right back. But it's my first time calling in, and, you know, I really appreciate you putting that post up. And you guys be safe out there. stay prayed up, and may God be with you and everybody else that is calling in, whether we agree or not, but God be with everybody. Y'all take care. Have a good night.
I love the call. Thank you, Kareem. 843-640, welcome to K100 Radio. I'll speed it up a little bit because now we got about 15, 20 people kind of on the phone line. So I'll speed it up a little bit. I was waiting for people to kind of lollygag up in here. You know what I'm saying? People kind of calling in now. Make sure you press the number 1 on the keypad. It should say you're now in the host queue. That lets me know that you want to speak to me. 843-640, welcome to K100 Radio. What's popping?
Hey, how you doing, man? This is Mark L. Barnes.
What's going on, homie? Thanks for calling into the show. Welcome. What are your thoughts tonight? Do you think that rap is a dangerous job? What do you think?
I absolutely think that rapping is a dangerous job. You know, it's just sad to say that a profession like that, you know, you have a lot of fame, you have a lot of money, and of course that's what a lot of people live for, and a lot of jealousy and envy goes on, and when people see that, you know, if they wasn't brought up in the right upbringing, they could try to take advantage of that, and that could cause you or the people that you're around their lives. So you really have to be cautious and watch who you are around and just really be aware of your surroundings, because the one simple mistake can end your life. So, yeah, I really do feel like that is a very dangerous profession to have.
Is it dangerous because of what rappers are saying? Why do you think it's dangerous? What do you think is the issue? Do you think it's because of what rappers are saying, or do you think it's because of just the places that rappers have to go, the clubs, the nightclubs? What makes it dangerous to you? That's a major part.
That depends. It can be what the rapper is saying, how they dress, their image. You never know what a person's thinking. I mean, there's always somebody who is saying bad things or whatever the case may be, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay, all right. Well, I thank you for calling into the show, and I really appreciate you for hitting us up on the phone lines, man, you know, and supporting the show and engaging in the discussion. All right, thank you, all right?
All right, thank you.
All right. 347-934-0966. I'm getting ready to come to the next caller, which is let's see here, 44388. All right. It really is, you know, if you go to the blog, you can hit me up on Twitter if you want to say something. You know, if you can hit me up on the chat over at chainlessentertainment.com. Go over to the right side. You can talk to the chat if you don't want to call in or whatever. And again, appreciate everybody that's just tuning in, you know, via the website or, you know, tune in, however, iTunes Radio. Whichever way you're listening to us, we're on iTunes Radio also. In case you didn't know that, you know, all you guys that got iTunes and stuff, you don't have to go to another device. Just go to the radio, a live radio portal, and go up under hip-hop, and K100 Radio is listed over there. So multiple ways you can check us out. But back to the point, I think another thing that I just really want to make sure I get everybody to understand that security at clubs, and I put another post up on Facebook, and I'm gonna mention that. I put up that what's crazy, what you have to understand, this is where the culture of hip-hop comes in at. This is where the culture comes in at. I'm coming to the next caller real quick. Just let me say this. When you think about it, and I don't know how many of you guys are from a small town. I'm from Panama City, Florida, right? Shouts out to the Bay. Shouts out to the 850. Shouts out to anybody listening from the 850 who may call in or whatever, all right? Hit me up, 347-934-0966, all right? Y'all know what I'm talking about, whether it be Deja Vu, KJ's, even back when it was Grady's. I don't care if it was the Midnight. I don't care. The Casablanca. All my hood people in Panama City, Florida. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know I keep it 100. You know I'm not lying. You know what I'm saying? Period, point blank. I'm from a small town. I'm from a smaller version of Birmingham. It's not that much smaller, but it's gangster. You go down, you know, we made national news a couple of times from a couple of different incidents in Panama City. You know what I'm saying? The point is, what's crazy to me is, you will have black people. This is another problem, and this is where people are going to talk about, man, this ain't got nothing to do with rap. This just be nigga shit. It be black people shit. Not black people, but nigga shit. There's a difference between black folks and niggas, and we can have that discussion whenever you want to, but not tonight. All right? But this is the point. All right? Black people, niggas, right? You know what I'm saying? They won't even go to a certain venue or a certain club if they feel like it ain't hood enough. If they can't go in there and goddamn, you know what I'm saying, sneak they bag of dust in there and go bump the dust over there in the corner or in the bathroom. If they can't go in there and blow loud or whatever, you feel what I'm saying? If all the local dope boys feel like, man, I got to get frisked every time I go up in this bitch or whatever. If you go to a lot of hood clubs and they got real police, like police, you know what I'm saying, as security, off-duty police, or if they got police posting outside in the parking lot, niggas will actually be like, man, fuck that club. I ain't going to that shit, that police-ass club, man. I ain't studying that shit, nigga. Fuck that, man. That old police-ass club, nigga. I ain't trying to go up in there, man. The folk got the goddamn crackers everywhere. Man, I ain't with all that shit. That's how they talk down in Florida, in case you ain't know. They say cracker a lot. You know what I'm saying? They say shit like that. They don't want to be safe. And these are the kind of places that are conducive for just the kind of fuck shit that went on in Birmingham. This club, I've never even been there, but I've know so many industry people who have dealt with the club, because obviously it's one of the main venues over there. I mean, in the Gump. You feel what I'm saying? Not Birmingham, but Montgomery in the Gump. You feel what I'm saying? I know so many promoters and different people who have taken artists over there. You feel me? And they like, man, that shit is crazy. Dangerous and ratchet. You feel me? And I come from a city that has clubs like that. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? I don't want to come. I mean, it is what it is. People, if you feel a kind of way, but you already know I'm not making it up. You know what I'm saying? So I don't have to really defend that particular statement. You know how many times people done got shot at your establishment. That is what it is. And it's going to happen again. It's not when, it's if. I mean, it's not if, it's when. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, the people, we got people who won't even go and support a real venue in the hood because it's too safe. If the fucking venue owner tells you, man, look, I'm going to hire some off-duty police and shit, so if it go down, a bitch ain't going to get kicked out, a bitch going to jail tonight. That's going to make niggas not even want to come to your shit. That's the most ironic, crazy shit about all of it, homie. That's what's crazy about that. And this is when it starts coming into play, talking about the hood, the mentality of black people. You feel what I'm saying? How black people think and how we are as a race. You feel me? And how the hood is fucked up. This is when you can justify that stance. Because all of a sudden, it ain't cool. The club ain't cool no more because it's too safe. Because niggas can't do what they want to do. They can't treat it like it's their damn living room. They can't walk in with pistols and weed and shit. Even though that's not what the fuck is there for. It's an establishment. It's meant for you to come out, and they serve mostly have liquor and food, and you're supposed to enjoy the entertainment and all that. You know what I'm saying? But cats want to come in there and just, you know, turn it into the trap. And so venues and owners, in order to survive in the hood, they start letting shit slide. And the more you let shit slide, shit just slide all the way to left, and all of a sudden, another dead rapper. 347-934-0966. Welcome to K1's Radio. 44388. You're not rocking with the best of them. This is Blizzum. Welcome to K1's Radio. Who's this?
What's up, Blizzum? This is the middleman, KG, man. What's going on?
What's going on, homie? Thanks for calling into the show.
All right.
I appreciate it.
I've been keeping you out for a while, man. I'm just saying, I really feel like being a rapper is a dangerous profession. You know what I'm saying? I worked on the side of media also, man, and I'm talking about the same club you're talking about. I've been to the road several times. Yes, it is dangerous. Yes, those guys walk around with AKs. They walk around like the Taliban. I mean, it's crazy down there. For real, Montgomery is crazy itself. And other venues we went to in Florida, Jackson, Mississippi, Memphis, Tennessee, out here in the A, it's just, I mean, just being a rapper, man, your callers were saying earlier, man, it's more so the mentality of the people, not the artist. So when you think about it, you know what I'm saying, you can't blame it on being a rapper as being dangerous. Because that person, if you didn't know they was a rapper and they was in the same situation, same environment, they would do the same dumb stuff. So I'm just saying that's how it seems to me, and that's what I've observed over the years.
Right. So you're saying that, but you do agree that since rappers have to be in these places, because see this is the catch 22, right? You people are gonna sit here and say, man, well then don't go to the club. Don't go to the establishment. But see, that means you don't know shit about the nature of hip-hop. The way it works now, ladies and gentlemen, is you have to blow up in your locale, right? And in order for you to blow up in your locale, you have to blow up in your locale. You blow up in your locale, you blow up in your region. You blow up in your region, the labels take notice, and they make you blow up nationally. And maybe, hopefully, worldwide, if you're the 0.1% of motherfuckers rapping that actually get to the level of a Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying?
So you saying that, but I mean, dude, you got to let's be realistic with it, Blizzum. A lot of people ain't gonna make that status. A lot of people don't even realize the status of what they are. Some people are needed, not even B level rappers. They're not even C level rappers. You know what I'm saying? So they even put themselves in that category. If little Pookie go over there and drop a CD and get killed, nobody cares. Like you said earlier, if something happened to a mainstream rapper, everybody, yeah, okay, we can sit on more rappers, da 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 da. But at the same time, these people, they don't care if A or B die. They just say just making that money. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's not on the art form itself. It's the people that's around and that's killing them because of the perception, the envy, the jealousy, everything else that comes with being in the hood, period.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cause I'm, my brother, I mean, I worked for the New Power magazine for like 6 years.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm just saying, man, some of the things I see rappers do and the way they present themselves, a lot of rappers, man, they're good people, man. A lot of people are good guys, man. But at the same time, they have to feel that perception, what people think of them. That's where we fall short at right there, when they try to fill in that perception of, okay, I got to be this, I got to be that to sell records. That ain't the case, man. You can get your money because before this generation of rappers, not, you didn't even have this type of environment on this level. You had cats getting beat up. You had cats getting stabbed. You had cats getting shot. But when they got to that level, that was really street stuff. Not everybody doing street stuff.
Yeah, everybody, because
that's
it's
what it works.
Because you gotta, I mean, you gotta, you know, it's like another show and another blog that I had, you know what I'm saying, about the realness, about how real do you have to keep it, you know, and hip hop is just held to an unreasonable, unrealistic level of you have to live what you say more than anybody else. No other genre of music even gives a fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Tupac said it best, brother. Tupac said it best, brother. It ain't nothing but music. You know what I'm saying? Tupac said it ain't nothing but music. That's guys before. I mean, it ain't nothing. You said it first yourself. It ain't nothing but entertainment. It's entertainment. Now, what's entertaining about me going over here shooting up this cat because he's quote-unquote as a rapper? But nobody don't even know who he is. Now, what happened to Doe D? That's something totally different, man. That's just that's on a whole different level of stupidity, man.
But you'll have people that will argue, and of course I have people arguing with me on my Facebook. Here I come, 678-656, you're next. You have people that arguing, that will argue that, yeah, that's entertainment, but the problem is, it's making people do something. You feel me? And I go, this is where I've always been the matriarch, and I've always been the person that's like, look, man, I'm not going to let you sit here and keep telling me grown-ass men is being influenced by the words of another man that they never even met. You're not going to keep putting this on hip-hop.
And regardless of what you say, man, I'm from close up there by Memphis, man. And the thing about it is, when Tetta Club came out, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You had cats in the club getting bucked, period. It was the music that did it. You know what I'm saying? When NWA came out with Fuck the Police and everything else, I mean, music do set a mold, man. Really, you may not believe that, but music can set a mold. It turn you from happy
I believe it sets a mold, but once you do that action, that is on the person. It can set all that mold.
Yes.
If you do it, that's your fault. Listen, bro. It can set all the mood it wants to. You know what I'm saying? You can play the goddamn most sexiest Marvin Gaye in the world on this. And let me, you finna beat the pussy up. You might not. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. You feel me? You still got to go through with the act. Once you decide to go through with the act, homie, that's where I tell people, when you decide that Tupac and 3-6 Mafia could make you want to tear the club up, they made you want to tear the club up. But once you tore the club up, nigga, you tore
that's
the club
on
up.
You. That's on you. Exactly. That's on you. So therefore, being a rapper, how can that be dangerous just being a rapper because you are a rapper?
Because it's dangerous. It's in a dangerous occupation because of the situation that you're precariously put in as part of the job. You see, the thing, that's what I was trying to say before we got sidetracked a second ago.
Okay.
About the clubs. Everybody would try to tell me. Everybody's been trying to tell me, nah, man. Someone was arguing about, shit, stay out of the goddamn hood clubs, then don't go. I'm like, and this is where I was trying to get to the point before I got sidetracked. You can't say that to a burgeoning independent artist. A burgeoning independent artist has to go to where the crowd is at. In order to get hot, he needs to get hot in his local area in order to give himself a local buzz. Once he garners the local buzz, he can maybe hopefully finagle his way into a couple of DJs or whatever and get a regional or statewide buzz, right? And these places where these people are going, they have to show up, perform, whether it be open mic, throw their own concert, whatever. They have to put themselves in a position. These studios they have to go to where these niggas ain't really got a lot of money. They have to go to these places to record. And so they putting him because he's a rapper. He has to do
it. I agree with you, brother, but at the same time, I know many of artists that went to shows, as soon as the show was over, they got the hell on. You know what I'm saying? When they go to the studio, they go and lock the business down, get the hell on.
But there's nothing that says it's gonna go down after the show over. It can go down before you even get on stage, homie, while you waiting to come
up. You're still in the environment.
Being a rapper is dangerous because of where you have to do and the shit you have to do and the people that you have to deal with.
But what about all these backpack rappers that don't have to deal with those same type of environments? They rapping too, but they get shot.
Oh, they do. It just doesn't get. It doesn't happen as often, but it does go down like that, bro.
I'm not saying it don't happen at all.
Jam Master J was not a trap rapper. Neither was Scott LaRock. Neither was Big L. None of these guys were what you call gangster rappers or whatever. And all these dudes died violently.
But it was circumstances behind all that, though, that was beyond their own, cause.
Yes, but
you
still.
Know, just because
in studios.
Exactly.
Even studios, you feel me? Or it was something around surrounding the fact that they were who they were, the rapper. You get what I'm saying? You see what I'm trying to...
I follow you.
You know, it's not the fact that what they were saying or who, it's the fact that they were a rapper, and there's an occupational hazard with being an MC. It just is. I'm not saying that's all the whole. I'm not just saying just because you're a rapper, all of a sudden your life is at risk 100% all the time, every time. What I'm saying is it's a job where we have to start acknowledging the fact that this is a dangerous job. When your son and daughter tell you, you feel me? If your son and daughter come up to you and say, "I want to be in the military." You may say, man, that's a dangerous job. Your son say he want to be a fireman. Yeah, that's a dangerous job. Nobody even says that, in which they should. One of the first things you say, you people say about, you want to be a rapper? Oh, that shit ain't going to work. That's just a fantasy. All blah, blah. But the first thing you really should be saying is, man, you know, that's a dangerous gig. Because it is.
You know, I feel you on that, brother, but I still say the environment that these guys have to go into, that's not of their doing. You know what I'm saying? It's because of the people of that area, the people that's in there, you know, people that's doing stupid stuff, man.
When the police go, well, listen, when firemen go put out a fire, they didn't light the fire, did they?
No, they didn't light it at all, but they had to go do the job.
Part of their occupation is to go put the fire somewhere
else
with the cigarette in their mouth, and now they have to go put out the fire. Rappers got to go out and perform at these fuck-ass, good-ass, raggedy-ass venues in order to gain some buzz, in order to get a movement going, and they're putting themselves at risk, and that's part of the occupation. You get what I'm saying?
It's a part of it. It's a part of it. I follow you. And, man, I would like to invite you over to our show, too, man, if you ever get the opportunity to come check us out, man.
I would love to. You make sure you hit me up, homie, and I'm there. All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you. 347-934-0966. That's the number to dial to the show. www.chainlessentertainment.com. We're live right now. K100 Radio, man. Hit me up. 347-934-0966. Next call in the queue. We're going to go ahead and jump over to them. 678-656. Welcome to K100 Radio. What's popping? Who's this? 678-656. Hello? Hello? I'm going to give you a second. Yo, what up, homie? What's poppin'? Who's this?
Frank Willis.
Oh, what's happening, homie? What's good with you, man? What's poppin', man? Thanks for calling to the show, man. Long time no hear. Glad to see you
for
up.
Sure, about... For sure.
For sure. Well, go ahead, homie. You got the floor. You're not rocking with the best of them. K100 Radio. We're live right now talking about my blog that I put up today called Rap Kills, and we're basically discussing how dangerous it is to be a rapper. Do you feel like being a rapper is dangerous? And this is an artist that we're talking to, so I'll go ahead and put that out there. The homie SD.
Yeah.
By Frank Willis now. Do you feel like you have a dangerous profession, homie?
I definitely agree with that, man. And you know what was crazy? Remember what you just said with my man, and you was like, you know, you tell somebody, hey, you know, I want to be a rapper. You know what I'm saying? And I got the same thing because it's about the image. I think it's more so about the image because, you know, rap was surrounded by a lot of negativity. You know what I'm saying? Especially since, like, the whole gangster rap era. Like, hip-hop started more on, like, a conscious vibe. But then when the gangster rap came, it really set a tone. And gangster rap is still going on today. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So when you tell people you want to be a rapper, it's more like damn. A rapper, that's negative, you know what I'm saying? And shit, I'll be real with you, man, like, when I started doing my thing in the music game or whatever, I done had to fight after my shows, you know, with other rappers, you know what I'm saying, niggas just hating. I had people call me and say, was you at such and such club last night? Or, you know, such and such wanted to shoot you to make a name for themselves. I've had people diss me, didn't even know me, rumors, you know what I'm saying, all kind of, you know, beef and drama that I wasn't really dealing with before the whole rap thing. The rap thing made me, you know, kind of put me more on that negative level, you know what I'm saying?
Did it put you on a negative level because of rap, or did it put you on a negative level because you wrung negativity, or you wanted to, or because all of a sudden, like you said, you became a rapper? Because you didn't have the problems. You said you didn't have the problems before, but you became a rapper, and then the problems happened, right?
Yeah.
Being a rapper, choosing that as an occupation automatically made you what? A target, right?
That's true. And it wasn't necessarily the music because, and like you were saying, you don't have to be on some gangster shit for niggas to take it in a different way, you know what I'm saying? Because my lane was always more lyrical, you know what I'm saying? So but it's like niggas still took it the wrong way. I had people come back and tell me, "Oh, such and such don't like your music, or they don't like the way you look." You know what I'm saying? So it's an insecurity, it's a jealousy. Like, I read in the book, my nigga, they said, whatever you do, whatever you put out there to display for the world, jealousy is going to create jealousy in people. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you're good at it and you're making it look good and you're making it look fun, people are going to be jealous. You know what I'm saying? And you can say one thing and one person take it one way, the other person take it another way. They can look at you like, yo, that's a hot artist. Another person look at you like, yo, I think that person is intimidating me. He's a threat to me. You know what I'm saying? So that's where the negativity may come into play. But like I said, bro, I done had to fight after my shows. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just real talk. At them hood ratchet clubs.
Everybody,
you know what I'm saying? But
a lot of
people, you got to go through them.
You got to go through
the hood clubs, bro.
You got to. And this is the thing. Like, my last album, The Cinema Me, that I dropped, and I think we were still friends. Maybe we had just met when I dropped it. It was 2 years ago. 2 years. When I dropped The Cinema Me, a lot of my friends don't even remember, but I remember we went down in Dalton, Georgia, and we got to fighting in the club, and the only reason we got to fighting in the club was because some local niggas was jealous that we was in the VIP. They wanted to get in the VIP, but the club owner told them the VIP is secured for these people because we were the headliners. I was the headliner. I was the fly. I was there. The night was about my album release, and we had an album release party at that club. The club owner locked off the VIP for my people, and niggas in the crowd got jealous because they normally be in the VIP. But he secured the VIP for us because we were special invited guests, and them niggas wanted their normal VIP spot. We got to squabbling over that. You feel what I'm saying?
Exactly. And it wasn't your music.
I'm not on the gangster shit too tough with my bars, whatever. I will let you have it. You feel me? Period, point blank.
Yeah.
And let it be known, I got someone had said some kind of slick to me, or kind of rubbed me the wrong way earlier, because as most people well know, I was involved with the shooting myself. It's no secret. Everybody who knows me knows that. But again, I was pretty much exonerated because it was deemed to be self-defense at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? So I understand what it's like to have to defend yourself. I understand what it's like to shit. When rappers, so right now rappers saying, nigga, like you just said, everybody got pistols, so I ain't finna be out here naked either. I get that because my pistol saved my life one time. You feel me? If I wouldn't be right here right now, I'd be dead. And I had it, and I protected myself. And I shot first. You know what I'm saying? And that was what it was. Yep. That's the end of the discussion. That's all I'm going to say about it. So I understand what it's like to have to be, to when you're a rapper, you feel like you got to have a gun in order to protect yourself because you are going to these ratchet-ass clubs and these hood-ass studios and shit. But then someone's going to come back and say, man, you're only inducing a violent atmosphere because you packing pistols in it. But really, though, if this is what you want to do, you ain't got to be the person that's going to start the shit, but you damn sure better be in the position to end it if need be. And so I understand that point of it also, if people don't get that, because they're not out here doing this shit. If you was out here doing it, if you ever been an artist, if you ever had to be a part of an artist team,
you'd be doing the same thing.
You would understand what it's like to feel like you need to be strapped. But people is like, rappers always talking this game, but a lot of these rappers really is strapped. And it's not because they want to go and rob a bank with the bitches, because they want to make sure nobody fucking peel their cap back first, if it pop off. thank you for calling into the show, homie. I'm going to move it along and get to the next call, man. I really appreciate you calling in, though. All right?
All right, for sure, my dog. 100.
Absolutely. 44819, welcome to K100 Radio. Is this Mr. Bartell? Hello? 44819?
This is Mr. Bartell, my man. How you doing?
Mr. Bartell, Brother Bartell, thank you, and welcome back to K100 Radio. I really appreciate it. Thank you for calling into the show. This is Mr. Al Bartell. We had him on the show, actually, a couple of weeks ago. He was running for the city mayor of Atlanta, you know, and he was running up against Mr. Kasim Reed. He didn't win, you know what I'm saying, but he gave him a good run, gave him a good campaign, and we were a part of trying to help him boost that by giving him an audience and letting him come on K100 Radio, and I'm glad that he called back in to engage in this discussion, which has nothing to do necessarily with the mayoral race, but it can be deemed political. And we could turn it political really, really fast, Mr. Bartell. But thank you. Welcome back to K100 Radio. What's going on?
Well, thank you. I just wanted to make the point that I agree. Being a rapper is a dangerous profession. You know, back in the day when, you know, brothers was doing doo-wop with do-rags on the streets of Chicago and New York and so forth, the same kind of stuff was happening. So culture is what it is, and we have to start providing solutions. You know, you've made a very good point that it is a dangerous profession. The question is now, what are we going to do to provide solutions for these brothers and sisters? And, you know, we've created a conversation called Street Peace America, which gets at solutions. American Kinetics is the public relations firm that's sponsoring this, and we want to communicate that it's time for solutions, brother. We've got to get together with roundtable discussions, symposiums, conferences, talks, raps, sessions in the hood, in these clubs, in these people's lives, and bring about solutions. That's what we got to do.
I appreciate you for saying that. And speaking from someone in your position, let's say, for instance, you know, I'm pretty sure you're going to run again, whether it be mayor, city councilman. I know you're not done with politics, so you're gonna quite possibly be a person in the position that can actually make some real change, Mr. Bartell. And I'm glad someone like you is on the phone line. I'm glad it's not just rappers. We got a plethora of people that's calling in today. We've had promoters, you know, people calling in. We got political people. We got artists. You know what I'm saying? Radio personalities, managers. This is some of the people that's called in for this particular discussion. And so it's really important that we had this diverse roundtable of people that actually called in to talk about it. Now, let me ask you this, right? If you was the mate, first of all, let's just say this. The club that the young guy, Dobie, which was T.I.'s young artist, who just got killed, the club was closed down like the next day. The mayor of the city closed the club down, right? But this, right. This is what drove me absolutely insane about that. After he closed the club down, and he gives this politically correct speech about why he did it, but there's so much evidence that showed it's been a problem, it's been an issue, it's been multiple murders, shootings, and everything at that same establishment. All someone did, it's not even called the Rose anymore. Someone else bought it and tried to open it up and change the name, but it didn't change the atmosphere. The atmosphere was still conducive to what ultimately led to Dobie being killed and an innocent young lady being shot in the head on her birthday. It could have been prevented on a political, legal scale, right? It could have been shut down because you know what's popping. You know what's going on. But a lot of times, there are backroom deals with political figures. There are policemen that may moonlight at certain places, and they don't want to stay open. They want to stay open so they can get the overtime. There's a lot of different things that go on a political scale that allow places like this to stay open when people know that they're dangerous. Fines, I'm pretty sure if it was my loved one, it'd be definitely a wrongful death lawsuit. They would never be able to own the club again. They'd be too broke because I'm suing, okay? I'm telling you right now. You know what I'm saying? And you kill me, trust me, my mama, you're going to be broke within about 5 years. However long it take, my mama not going to let up. You shoot Blizzard, and if I die in your club, homie, you're going to be broke. My mama not letting up. She already said it. I'm telling you right now. She going to break you. Because she going to sue you for wrongful death. And I make sure she do it. Because I got strict instructions that she don't break them. If I die in the club on some bullshit like that, my mama not letting up. You know what I'm saying? She going to make sure. So this is the point, Mr. Bartell. What would you do? What would you suggest? And what would you do if you was in a position, if you was a city councilman or a mayor? How would you address it from a political standpoint?
If I was the mayor, which is very possible that I could be the next mayor of Atlanta, it doesn't work to go in, point blame, close the club down, and treat these people like they're the, you know, wrath of the earth. That's not going to work. It's,
right.
It's a function of hypocritical leadership. So, you know, violence is preventable. Like any other public health issue, it is preventable. So as mayor, what I want to do is be on the spot to provide what's missing. We as human beings can prevent violence. We know how to do that. We know how to cause violence, and we know how to prevent violence. So it takes leadership. This mayor should have already been in touch with these club owners. Club owners cannot do it by themselves. For city political leaders to think that the club owner can take on this problem by themselves, that's more that hypocritical leadership, and we have to turn it around with authentic, real leadership.
Okay. So you're saying that it's because I've been hard on the club owners. You feel me? But at the same time, I've been hard on the club owners and security in all the situations just because I've been in a situation before. I've been in club fights. I've seen people get shot right like 10 feet from me in the club and everything, man. And I'm like, how did the gun get in the club if everybody is getting frisked? You know, it had to be a breakdown in that respect. So I have been the person that's put a lot of the weight on the venue itself. Like I told Jalen earlier, I said, you know, I personally, if I have an artist or whatever, I personally don't leave my personal safety up to what security gonna do. I gotta make sure I'm straight because I don't trust security at the clubs because it's especially in certain kinds of clubs. Like, you know, I'm not worried about getting shot in rain downtown. You know, I just went down the rain downtown and Jay-Z and Beyonce was in the building or whatever. But you know what? In that area, in that atmosphere, even though it's not a black thing because everybody in the club almost was black. It was packed to the capacity. You feel me? Liquor was in there. Women was in there. Guys was in there. Rappers was in there. It was hip-hop. But guess what? I didn't feel like I was going to get shot down in downtown at rain. I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it. I wasn't even worried about it. I didn't even think about maybe I might catch a straight bullet tonight downtown. You understand what I'm saying, sir? It's because of where I was at, because I was downtown.
Here's what we got to realize. These clubs are a part of our community. Just like you have good schools and bad schools, the bad schools are still a part of our community. Just like you have good churches and bad churches, the bad churches are still a part of our community. Just like you have good neighborhoods and bad neighborhoods, they're still a part of our community. So we got to support the club owners. The club owners cannot do it by themselves. The political leadership can no longer make the club owners the victims. And brothers like you who got a microphone and communicate have got to take the responsibility of pulling the politician and the club owners together.
Well, I definitely hope that this program, and I hope that one day, you know, when you finally take the seat, sir, that we can still be on a level and on a grander scale, that I can make that happen. Because as it stands right now, you know, and this is only with hip-hop, you know, it really is sad that, you know, people who love music and want to express themselves through the art of hip-hop have to actually consider about how dangerous it is. And all they want to do is rap. All they want to do is make some music and perform on stage and sell some CDs. That's all they want to do. It shouldn't necessarily feel, it shouldn't be a job that you could even remotely connect with dying violently by gunfire, sir. That's my point. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for calling in, Mr. Bartell. I really appreciate it. I wish you good luck. I want you to tell everybody how they can connect with you because I'm pretty sure you're not done. What's the next move for you?
Next move is to take on this concept called Street Peace America. American Kinetic is the host of the conversation, 404-919-0587. Give us a call. We're going to start holding roundtable discussions. We've already got some planned. We had talked about doing stuff on violence prevention. And when this incident happened, we said, okay, it's time for us to get in the game full force. American Kinetics, Street Peace America, 404-919-0587. You take good care of yourself, brother.
Thank you, Mr. Al Bartell. I appreciate it. 770-255, welcome to K100 Radio. You're not rocking with the best of them. This is K100 Radio. Rap kills. Is being a rapper a dangerous profession? That's the question of the night. Thanks, everybody, for tuning into the show. 347-934-0966. You can hit us up on the web at www.chainlessentertainment.com. Go over and hit the chat up. Let me, matter of fact, I haven't been checking the chat. Let me go over here and hit the chat. Okay, in the chat. You can yeah, it is. People love talking in the chat, and I got so engulfed, I didn't go back. Shouts out to everybody in the chat, man. I really appreciate it, ladies and gentlemen. You can hit our chat room up over at chainlessentertainment.com over on the right sidebar. You can holler at me on Twitter. I see people Facebooking me and everything, and people are still texting me who can't talk. Shouts out to everybody listening to us on TuneIn, on your mobile app, on your mobile free mobile TuneIn app. Just to go to your Play Store or whatever and download the TuneIn app. Type in K100 Radio. We're also listening on iTunes Radio. If you got iTunes, just click over there on the radio tab up under hip-hop, and we're listed over there under K100 Radio. But we're talking about, is rap a dangerous profession? So, 770-255, welcome to the show. Who's this?
What's good? Blizzard, the said wise, man.
What's happening, homie? Oh, what's happening, homie? Thank you for holding on for a minute. I got about seven more people, you know what I'm saying, that's holding on. So, thanks, everybody, for being patient. We still got plenty of time. I'm not ending the show till maybe approximately 11 p.m. tonight. So thanks about that. I'll make sure I speed it up a little bit, but I wanted to make sure Mr. Bartels, since he's in politics, he actually had a chance to talk. So that was kind of important to me. Say Wines, what's going on, homie? Thank you for calling to the show. What do you think, man? Is rap a dangerous profession or what?
Definitely, but I'm going to say, I try to do my history on, I try to do my research on black musicians, period. I think, my opinion, being a black musician, period, or in the music industry, period, is dangerous. And I'm going to talk from dealing with, looking at back at the blues players on the Chitlin Circuit and stuff like that, how they had to carry pistols, and they guitar cases. If you watch Cadillac Records, that's a perfect example of it, and how they used to carry pistols in their guitar cases. And when they go down to the Chitlin Circuit, man, they had to battle with other bands. Now, when I started out doing music, before I started doing beats, I was in a band. And the thing about that, man, we used to go, me and the band, we used to go, perform at different venues and different clubs, and we got into a fight with the white bands just for being black and just for doing hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? We was a conscious hip-hop band, and we got in fights with the other bands, white bands, and you know what I'm saying, just because we was, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, either we was talented them or we was the headliner of that venue or whatever the case may be, and we got a fight with other bands or people in the crowd, just for being black, and you know what I'm saying. And I think you're doing hip hop alone. Then a lot of people frown on hip hop. I don't care if you're a Christian rapper, people gonna frown on that. You know what I'm saying. And it's really tough, man, with the situation with Tupac and a lot of the gangster rap now, and Dobie recently got killed. You know what I'm saying. It's definitely a dangerous profession, man, and we got to do something about it, man. It got to be something happening. You know what I'm saying? Because too many.
Who would you
kill?
Mr. Bartels said, Mr. Bartels has swayed me a little bit to ease up on the club owners and venues and security a little bit. I had a majority of the blame based on them, but I will give it to him that they can't do it alone. They need the help of police and they need the help of other people if they want it. No, now you got a lot of venues who are greedy, and they just want as many hood niggas as they can get in there every night, and they don't want any help from those guys because they getting hand over fist money because they the only hood joint in town that's gonna let these niggas run amok and run in there like some wild cowboys and shit. You know what I'm saying? And they the only spot in town that do that. That's the only place these wild motherfuckers got to go to spend their money. And voila, they're getting so much money, they don't want the police around coming over there, worrying about their liquor license and all kind of shit. They don't want that.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. We know that goes on. Okay, so this is who I'm just going to ask you one question. I'm gonna speed it up and move on.
Right.
You said we need to do something about it. Who's we? Who's we?
I mean, as in hip-hop community, I think what happened is in hip-hop, man, we got so individualized. If that's a word, you know what I'm saying? We got so individual to the point where, get to the point where we can't come together and do something about it. It gets to the point where artists don't even want to be fans of other artists. It got to that point. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to buy Blizzard's album. Why you going to buy Blizzard's album? You know what I'm saying? And if you think he's dope, well, I'm not gonna download his song on iTunes or whatever the case may be. I'm not gonna go to his show. I'm not gonna listen to his show. I'm not gonna go. You know, it's like artists, is, they don't want to be fans anymore. That's number one. You know what I'm saying? And number two, it's just so much jealousy. I don't understand how can you have a beef in music. I just don't understand it. It's really to the point where how can you have beef in music? Not, you know what I'm saying? Not saying like a beef like you know, if somebody stole your music or whatever, like that's my, like, you know, you performing, and so, like you said before, hey, you know, I'm in, you know, the other group wanted to come in the VI, they had a VIP spot, but the club owner saved that spot for you because y'all was the headliner act. So how you gonna get jealous? You know what I'm saying? And that's where
this is where a whole bunch of people on my Facebook post and a whole bunch of people kept trying to tell me, Blizzum, it's not rap, it's niggas. You know what I'm saying? It's black people. Right. It's jealousy. But I'm like, you know, black people ain't the only people who get jealous. But you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They will argue, but black people, aka not even necessarily black people, but wild, acting ignorant niggas are the only ones who get mad enough to shoot a person in the club about it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm like, no, because, you know, you got, you know what I'm saying? You got people who, you know, you got lovers who commit the acts of murder out of jealousy. You know what I'm saying? When they find out their significant other is cheating. So I'm like, you still can't say that. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, you still just say it's even though we know the difference. You know, we got some ignorant people. Like, we got some ignorant black folks, but it's ignorant people all over. I'm still trying to get people to understand that, yo, yes, I understand your point, saying, man, that's just black shit. That's just hood shit, man. That's only, I'm like, but you know what? It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's always happening around hip-hop and to hip-hop. And so that's why I just want to make sure everybody understands that this is an occupational hazard of being a rap artist. If you want to be a rapper, you need to start writing that down and start telling people that that's a dangerous job, because it is. It's just
It is. I mean, how many R&B singers you know that got killed in the past 20 years?
Let's see. Well, Marvin Gaye died.
From being shot.
Yeah.
At a venue.
And I don't know who else got killed besides Marvin Gaye. You know what I'm saying? Chris Brown, you know, he if he would have kept it up, he could have ended up getting it, but he didn't. You know what I'm saying? But I mean,
I'm talking about you going to club and sing, and he's singing love songs, or R. Kelly singing I Don't See Nothing Wrong, and he gets shot because, oh,
then
you know, I don't like the way he's singing that song.
It's definitely.
And then, you know what? And it's not so much on the rappers. It's a little bit of everything. It's everything. You know what I'm saying? Because hip hop, when like the one caller said, hip hop has started. It haven't started with this game. It started more conscious and more mostly fun and political issues. That's where basically how hip hop started. And then the gangster rap came in. And they started promoting the label started promoting gangster rap because it started fueling other situations.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's when the money started coming in. So it's not only was fueling the you know, the club owners, but it was fueling other situations, like some of the private prisons. The private prisons came along around in 1992.
I cannot get into, if you make me go there, I'm going to go way over. I'm going to go all the way.
I just throw that out, and that's the truth. You know what I'm talking about, man. You already know.
But if I do that, that's a whole nother show for a whole nother discussion.
Exactly.
The prison industrial complex, rap, us. Black people, Willie Lynch, all this stuff. Listen, that's a whole... I can't do it right now. You know what I'm saying?
Man,
but you know, I know that you know that I know about it, all of it.
Exactly.
But right now, I got to stay focused on what we're talking about, because then I'm going to go all the way over there.
Exactly.
And everybody ain't going to get a chance. All right, thank you.
But man, hey, I'm going to let you get to other callers, man.
All right.
You know, you're doing a great job of the show, dog. Keep it up. And, man, always put out that music, man. Keep doing what you're doing, bro.
All right, man. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. The next caller, I can't call your number out because it's kind of blocked. Caller, because it's blocked on my switchboard. I don't know if you're calling me through Skype or what it is, but you're on the line with K100 Radio. What's popping?
Zeph, you talking to me?
Yeah. Yeah, what's going on, homie? What's popping? Who's this?
This is Tyree with Team Invasion South. Give a little shout-out to H. Austin Media, 100P, for keeping it 100. They put me onto this conversation. What's going on, man?
What's going on, man? Shouts out to H. Austin, man. You feel me? The homie always been a big supporter of the show. We rock his music over here. So thanks for calling into the show, homie. I really appreciate it, man. Thanks for hitting us up and talking about the discussion at hand, which is basically a spinoff of my blog that I wrote today called Rap Kills, and we're talking about, is rap a dangerous profession? So go ahead, homie. What do you think about that? What do you think about the subject?
Yeah, I give the blog a read. And personally, I think that as far as all the violence in hip-hop goes, I personally think that it's unnecessary, because if these dudes is out here spilling their hearts on the microphone, standing on the stage to entertain you, then you definitely shouldn't be out there trying to cause them any problems, regardless of reputation or what you're looking for. These dudes are risking their lives every single day. They're going overseas and everything, you know what I'm saying? So to me, it's just an unnecessary mess, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so do you think that, I, of course, without hesitating, I would agree with you that it doesn't need to happen and it shouldn't happen, but it does. So do you think that the fact that it does, and we know it's going to happen again unless some miracle happens within the next, I don't know, whenever the next rap concert is or the next rapper goes out to do a show, which is not going to happen, we know that's unrealistic. Do you think that rap is a dangerous job?
Yeah, I honestly do. Like any other job out there, I mean, there's always those minor dangers, but being in front of a crowd of people, yeah, that's a dangerous thing, because you don't know how the next dude feels about you when you're on the stage in front of him. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So what would you suggest? Or who do you suggest should fix it? Is this, whose responsibility is it? Is it the responsibility of the rapper to not put themselves in the predicament? Someone said that rappers put themselves in these positions, and I'm like, rappers don't put themselves in the positions when they got to go out and perform at these places in order. That's part of their job. Their job is to go out and build up their buzz, so they have to go out to some questionable places in order to build up their brand. Now, granted, I will say that someone pointed out to me, and I'll ask you this. Someone said, if you rap about trap shit, then you got to go perform in a trap club. Don't rap about trap shit, you ain't got to rap at that club, because that ain't where your fan base is at. Thus, you rapping about trap shit is the reason why you got to go to the trap club, which is the reason why you might get shot in the face.
Yeah, see, I do agree with you that it's not the rapper's responsibility to censor what he says or whatever to avoid the situation. Realistically, as a human being, you have every right to walk this planet just like the next man. So why should you censor what you say? That's not real. So I honestly believe that the fan or the person who's in the club listening to their music, you shouldn't go attack this dude because of what he said, or attack him because, you know, certain people listen to him and you don't like that those people listen to him. You know what I'm saying? You should have some respect for yourself. Just don't listen to his music if you don't feel him. Don't go out there and attack him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That sounds like so common sense. So common, you know, just like, yeah, the right thing. But that's not where we live at. We live in a world where people just react. We live in a world where people are, mind you, oftentimes in these spots, in these venues, someone is up under the influence of a drug, whether it be alcohol, cocaine, or marijuana, or Molly, or ecstasy. You know what I'm saying? You got to think about, a lot of times in these situations, the person that's perpetrating the crime is up under the influence of a substance. You feel what I'm saying? It's really rare that two people get to fighting in the club and both people are sober. One may be sober, but both people be sober in a club fight, it's actually rare. And in a shooting, I'm pretty sure somebody's hocked up on something. You know what I'm saying? If we can't possibly know that, but I'm just going out on a limb with the numbers. You know what I'm saying? About what would possibly, if we could just know. I'm pretty sure most of the time someone's up under the influence. So in that perfect situation, you know, it would be cool that people would just walk away, and if you don't like it, oh, I don't like it, this, whatever. But that's not how humans operate, and that's not the real world. So back to this reality. What do you do?
Well, in my particular situation, like, you know, I host events every Saturday down here, and I've run into that when I have, like, dudes just randomly want to start some problem with me when I'm using the restroom of all things, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But in my particular situation, when I have to deal with that, I know who I am, and I know that if it were a situation where I have to throw down and I got no choice, then, I mean, hey, if we got to do what we got to do, we can do that. But I mean, I try to personally, you know, bring some sense to the situation. For example, if they trying to do this over money, then I'll just let them know, like, listen, man, if you want some free drinks tonight, I'm hosting the event. I give you a couple drinks if that's what you're looking for. If you're just looking for a problem, then I don't know how I'm gonna help you, because I'm here to do something else. I'm here for business. But I mean, if it came down to a situation where there's absolutely no sense, no common sense in that, you know, in that person, and they're just looking to start some issue, then, I mean, there's really not much you can do, because you're not there for that. And if they are, then they're going to do what they want to do regardless. You know what I'm saying? There's really nothing you can do about it. It's up to them to make the decision to have common sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And common sense doesn't grow on trees, and it's not a part of everybody's DNA. You know what I'm saying? Like blood and a heart and a brain. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that doesn't come stock with everybody. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
It's not that common.
Yeah, it's not standard. You know what I'm saying? So what are we going to do about it? All right, man, thank you for calling into the show. I'm going to try to jump and grab a couple more of these callers, man, before everybody kind of fade off into the darkness. And we can round up the discussion. Thank you for tuning into the show. If you have any information or whatever you want to holler at anybody, you know, let them know where they can hook up with you if you're in the music industry or whatever, if you got something going on real quick.
No doubt. Well, like I said, man, this is Tyree with Team Invasion South. If you in Florida, you in Orlando, then y'all already heard of us. So, you know what I'm saying? If y'all coming out here, just ask about Team Invasion South. We host events every weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
All right, man. So if you're out there in the O, which I might be soon, so I'm going to be hitting you up when I come down there. All right?
Hey, no doubt.
No doubt, man. Welcome to K100. Thanks for calling. 44496. And then we got 513. We got an 843 on the line also. I don't know if they want to talk. They didn't press number one. 44496. Welcome to K100. What's popping? 44496. Hello? Hello? I think I hear him now. 444-496. Hello? No, I guess not. 513-371. Welcome to K100. What's popping?
This y'all boy, Bitch Truth. Wild Boy Records, Dirty Jackson, E.T. All night, all day. You already know what time it is. What's good, bro?
What's good, my homie, Bitch Truth? What's happening, homie? Thanks for calling into the show.
Ain't too much. Ain't too much, man. I appreciate you having me on.
No problem, man. You feel me? So, another artist on the line. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you just outright off the top. Do you feel like you got a dangerous gig? Do you feel like being a rapper is dangerous? Do you feel like that's dangerous what you chose to do?
I'm going to tell you like this, bro. It's not even just what you know what I'm saying, just rap. So, yeah, it is dangerous in rap. But in the entertainment business, I'm going to honestly tell you like this, bro. The entertainment business is the most dangerous business there is. You know what I'm saying? Because we're involved in everything. We talking alcohol, you talking drugs, you talking everything, and you talking money, you know what I'm saying? So that includes banks, you know what I'm saying? We talking music, you know what I'm saying? And it's not just about how you rap, you know what I'm saying? Niggas out in my city kill niggas over beats, you know what I'm saying? Kill niggas over studio time, you know what I'm saying? Shit like that. We done had shootings at the studio over, you know what I'm saying, this my slot, and these two motherfuckers don't get along, and they shoot each other over the slot time for the session. Or, you know what I'm saying, or a producer didn't release something, such and such rights, or some shit like that. Or, you know what I mean, it's way more than just the fact that it's rap. You know what I'm saying? And this is me personally, you know what I'm saying, you know, bro, I've been out here, bro, and I see shit like this happen all the time. You know what I'm saying? I'm from the city where T.I. brought his mans out here and got murdered, you know what I'm saying, at the Ritz. You know what I'm saying? This is my city. You know what I'm
right.
saying? So, of course, yes, rap is a dangerous game. But I want people to understand something else. It's not just rap that's dangerous. It's the entertainment business, period. In any profession, it can be a situation where it's dangerous. But at the same time, it's the entertainment business as a whole. It's fucking dangerous. You're putting yourself on the line when you get on stage because now security is not doing what they're supposed to do anymore. You know what I'm saying? They let folks in that they know, you know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, he's strapped, but he ain't going to do nothing. You know what I'm saying? Right. We done had four clubs. We done had like 2, 3, 4 clubs shut down in this city for shootings alone. You know what I'm saying? We done had 3 clubs shut down for fights alone. You know what
right.
I'm saying? And it wasn't nobody got killed. It was an ass whooping. And it was so epic that they said, man, if they're going to hold shit like this, we don't want it open. You know what
right.
I'm saying? It's that type of deal out here. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell you like this. Cincinnati is turning into fucking Capital Murder 101. We done had 4 killings in the last week. You know what I'm saying? And that's just the
right.
week. We ain't talking about the month. You feel me? And the other thing you got to understand is, you know what I'm saying, the aspect of rap and entertainment business, you're talking about battles that people have on a weekly basis, you know what I'm saying, or a monthly basis. We have some shit out here called the Badass Battles hosted by B-Luck from Bandcamp, you know what I'm saying? And me personally, I never got my chance to do that, you know what I'm saying, as far as Badass Battles, but I battled when I first got started.
And uh-huh. the reason why I stopped was because I got into a fight after the battle because I was treacherously fucking dude up so bad that he took a swing at me. You know what I'm saying? Now, granted, I was lucky enough that he had a terrible-ass swing, and he got his ass fucked up. But, you know what I'm saying? That's here or there. You know what I'm saying? It's point-blank period. The entertainment business is dangerous. But, you know what I'm saying? But I will say this. The rap game is the most dangerous part of the entertainment business.
Hmm. And so he says it's not just rap. The entertainment industry is dangerous, period. But rap is just the king of the
most dangerous.
You know, is the most dangerous.
Yeah.
I would agree to that. Like
I had a promoter
that was texting me adamantly like, yo, man, y'all ain't the only ones at risk. We at more risk than you because we the ones who got to deal with the mad rappers who came up at the last minute trying to get on the damn open mic list. These little local hood niggas want to skip the line and shit. We like, nah, we ain't doing that. Fuck everybody up at the club. You know what I'm saying? So the promoter was like, yo, but you don't got to, you only got to deal worry about you and maybe whoever you fall out with. It's like, we got to worry about every dope boy that's trying to be a rapper now that, you know, got all these goons with him. So the promoter is texting me because he can't call. He's like, yo, man, you ain't got the most, you ain't got the worst part. We got the worst part. I don't know about that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I don't know about that.
Exactly.
I think that the promoters aren't necessarily as big a target as a hot artist. You feel what I'm saying? You know what I mean? A hot rapper, that's what make it even worse. The hotter you are, the worse it is. You know what I'm saying? And that gray area where you blowing up like basically where Dope B was at, where you're not a superstar, so everywhere you go you ain't got security, but you a hot team and everybody know you in the hood and everybody know you in a couple other hoods and you got a little hood bang around and you fucking with a big name rapper like T. You at that gray area where you should have security everywhere you go, but you don't. You feel me?
Absolutely.
Because you kind of sort of normal, but you really not. You feel me? You know, but you really are, but you really not. And there's that area that's the most dangerous area to be a rapper. You know, we see a lot of rappers that get killed in that gray area because you don't really see too many Jay-Z's getting knocked off. Tupac and Biggie with
some epic. You see cats that's either trying to make a way or the cats that's got a way, but they grew up like that type deal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the ones that you really see. And the main situation with that is more or less for real, it's how you carry yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's how your image is. You feel me? If you carry yourself that way, or if you say those type of things in your lyrics, you know what I'm saying, and they not true, or they are true and they offend somebody, you know what I'm saying? You got to expect that you're putting yourself in that type of situation. You know what
unfair. That's unfair to me. I feel like because we don't expect Quentin Tarantino to fucking run into a couple of fucking ninjas, even though he made Kill Bill.
Right.
We don't expect him to run into a female assassin squad. We don't expect for him to fucking get ran over, you know, in the middle of a bank heist going wrong, like because he made Reservoir Dogs. I mean, come on, man. That's the part that. I understand people are going to sit here, and that's a whole nother blog, a whole nother show, a whole nother topic that I've had at least three times since I've been doing K100. In the 3 years I've been doing K100, that's like I've had that discussion, that battle with people at least three times. I'm just, I may do it when I feel like it. But the point is, I see what you're saying, but it's still, just because I say, nigga, I got to chop it on, instead of me, you got to test me and see if I got to chop a nigga and pull yours out. You know what I'm saying? Just because I said it.
I grew up in a neighborhood like this. If he say he got a gun and he going to get it, believe him. Period. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I grew up. You know what I'm saying? Your life on the line when the situation go there. You feel me?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, and when I was saying that go behind that, in my city, you know what I'm saying, singers are out here killing folks. You know what I'm saying? It's more than just rappers. There's singers. These motherfuckers is going hard to the paint for the female top front on stage. When somebody dead, you're getting in the middle of that now. You know what I'm saying? That's how they're doing it out here now, bro. It's way more than just that. But you right. Right? Yeah, it's dangerous as shit. Your wife on the line, period.
Period.
Point blank. All night, all day. Your ass is in trouble.
All right, man. Biz the truth, homie. Thanks for calling in. Jaylin. Jaylin texted me and she said, I don't know what you're talking about with the phone line. It should be good, Jaylin. But she said, someone said something about R&B rappers, and she said Zap brother shot him, and she said Sam Cooke, it was all John Whitehead and Sam Cooke and Johnson were all people who died violently, and they weren't rappers, but they were in the entertainment business. So maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Being in the entertainment business, yeah. But per capita, let's play with the numbers, ladies and gentlemen. Per capita, your ass be a rapper is a greater chance of all them combined that if you a rapper,
man,
shit, peeled back. You just, I'm not saying that there's no violence, no in other. I'm talking to the promoters too, my promoter people. I'm not saying you guys don't have a dangerous job because you do. What I'm saying is, it's still being a rapper, it's just being the artist, being the highlight, being that you are still the biggest target. That's it. All right, Bizzy, let me get one more call. We got, but I'm getting ready to wind it down.
Hey, before I go, let me just say I appreciate you holding it down for me on the all night, all day, keeping me in rotation. Follow me. Everybody follow me at Biz the Truth on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Shout out. And K100, salute to DJs.
Absolutely, homie. For sure. All right, the 404 number wants to talk again, and we'll get to that 843. 404, because I went to them first, but they didn't say anything. 444-496, welcome to K100.
Hey, Blisson, what's up, man? It's SG.
What's going on, homie? What's popping?
Hey, good evening, man. I was just tuning into your show. This is my first time calling in. You are raising the question about can this type of entertainment be a dangerous job, right?
Right, yeah. Is being a rapper a dangerous job? Is, you know, when you say fireman, when someone thinks about a fireman, the people always say, man, that's a dangerous job. You got to be brave. I feel like you got to be brave to want to be a damn rapper because this is a dangerous job. It's a dangerous occupation, and that's basically what the point of the blog was. I don't know if you got a chance to read the blog, but if you do, get a chance to read the blog. And I am here to argue the fact that outside of we understand, I'm pretty sure you've had a discussion numerous times about the lyrics in hip-hop being violent and the culture of hip-hop and people in the hood, and the hood is – but I would contest and say that the occupation of being a rapper – is a dangerous job, just like being a cop or a fireman. It's dangerous. You could get killed, and you should expect danger. You should just, like you said, like cops expect to run up on. At some point, a cop expects to get into a confrontation where he has to pull his weapon and shoot. A fireman is trained to put out a fire. Rappers need to be trained to deal with. I mean, rappers need to be ready to go, man. You got to be trained to go to be a rapper. It's just that simple. You got to be trained to go.
Right.
So. That's the discussion, but go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah. My response to it is this, and it's to also piggyback on the other callers. To answer your question, it is a dangerous job. You can definitely make it into a dangerous job because, like, I had a conversation with a friend of mine a while back about how hip-hop was created, and it was created to decrease the violence that was going on in the ghettos, in the neighborhood, by challenging your anger into something else. You know, if you go back to the elements of hip hop, which include MCing, DJing, breakdancing, and graffiti, and there's another thing that's also an element to hip hop. I can't think of it right now, but it was to also decrease the violence. You know, it was also to, you know, challenge your anger into that type of art form instead of putting your hands on somebody else or killing that other person. But I think what happened is that over the years after the Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five and all the other groups and stuff, you know, when the West Coast came into the scene and brought that gangster rap, you know, it was just that whole thing of gangster rap sells. And it still goes on to this very day where, you know, rap is even a lot more bigger and better than it is. Not better in a good way, but bigger to the point where, you know, a lot of these rappers that you hear on the radio and everywhere, they rapping about it, they glorifying the hood life because it's a big money maker. You know, it's like nowadays a lot of people don't want to hear that conscious and backpack rapping stuff. They want to hear, you know, that bang, bang, shoot 'em up type of music. And it's so unfortunate that a brother like Doe B, I didn't know who Doe B was at first until I heard about it this past weekend. And it's unfortunate because now you're hearing a lot of these aspiring up-and-coming artists that are getting murdered before their career even take off, it's almost depressing because, you know, you never know what a person like Doe B would have brought to the table if he had survived. And so now he's put into the same category as the Magnolia Shorties and the Mac Dre's and the Scott LaRock that you mentioned earlier. You know, all these other rappers that were are inspiring and up-and-coming and stuff. And it just seems to me that it's more up-and-coming rappers that have gotten murdered or have gotten killed more than the mainstream artists, like the Tupac, the Biggies, and the Jam Master Jay and all that. And there was another artist a few years ago, too, who did the song Cut Friends. I can't think of the artist's name, but he got gunned down, too.
His name is Camouflage. He's a young kid.
Camouflage.
Out of Georgia. Was that Savannah area or Albany or something like that? Anyway, but the point is, you made a point that you just said, you know, you see these up-and-coming rappers get killed more than the big names. And this is my point. This is what I'm trying to get everybody to understand, ladies and gentlemen. That's why Biggie and Pac being murdered was so epic, because they were huge. They could afford security. They could afford, you know, bulletproof vests. They could afford a whole entourage of 20 motherfuckers walking, going everywhere with them, everywhere they go. That's why it was so epic when they went down. But people like, whether it be a B-level artist, you feel what I'm saying, like Dobie or whatever, or even an underground artist on the come up, that's the problem I'm trying to get everybody to understand. Jealousy, you don't have to be a millionaire. You just have to have more than the next motherfucker to be the target. You feel what I'm saying? You just have to be a little more pop. You don't have to have a million people talking about you. You could have 500 extra people talking about you, and that jealousy arises. You know, you don't have to have a Maybach. You could just pull up in a nice car with some nice rims. It costs you $20,000. It ain't got to be a $500,000 car, but if you pull up in a $20,000 car and a person don't got no car, the jealousy comes. The hate, the jealousy, the things that make people want to beef with rappers just because they are rappers, that makes you just want to, you know, whatever, whether it could have, we don't know what happened out there with Dobio with nobody, you feel me? It could have been past beast. He could have punched some guy's sister in 12th grade or some shit, and he just never got over it. And now he's a star.
Right.
He's just like, that nigga, I'm going to kill you. You don't know. I'm not saying that's obviously not what happened, but I don't know what that's not what happened. What I'm saying is, the jealousy that comes on the level of me, and what I'm saying is, I've been through this personally. With me being an artist, that's the whole thing. Like, I feel like I'm the perfect person to have a discussion, because not only do I have the platform, but I've been through the I'm from a small town. I understand jealousy. I've seen the jealousy. I've heard about it. Fortunately, I've had fights in my hometown. Fortunately, it wasn't necessarily really about the jealousy. I get a lot of love shown to me from my hometown people and from my hometown clubs and stuff like that. They show me love and they respect me. But I know that it's there, but it just hasn't popped off yet. And I'm grateful for that, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm lucky for that. But I have, just 2 years ago when we were doing the circuit, when we was promoting my new album, The Cinema Me, we was in Dalton, and I seen firsthand that people just are jealous because of the position, because we were in VIP and they wanted to be and they couldn't. We had a fucking all-out club brawl. We shut the club down. You know what I'm saying? All that club brawl, and it could have got deadly, because I ain't gonna front. I couldn't get to the car fast enough, because if I could have, I'm telling you, I might be in prison. Just couldn't get to the car fast enough before they cleared out, because I wasn't playing no games. Once we got outside the door, that was it. You feel what I'm saying? We had to scuffle a little bit outside. I was about done scuffling. I was going to the trunk. You know what I'm saying? Fuck all this scuffling outside, because I don't know what you got outside. So I was about done fighting after we fought in the club, and we done moved outside, and we whooped them a little bit outside in the front. At that point, I'm ready to call off all the swing, and I'm ready to go ahead and pop the trunk. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? And it's going to be what it's going to be. That's the mode they had to put me in. So, and it all started because of them being jealous of us. But that's what my mind frame is, and I'm not even that violent kind of person like that. You feel me? So I know that if my mind frame was ready to go to war, the average motherfucker who ain't got shit to lose, who ain't got shit to live for, the person who was already jealous in the first place, they already thinking murder. They already thinking kill. They already thinking that. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm telling people that as an artist, and as it, when it comes to hip-hop and us being hip-hop artists, man, we are targets. This is a dangerous profession, but it's even more so dangerous because, you know, my affinity is the independent artist. That's what I've been through. That's my struggle. I know that. And so my thing to the independent artist is, this shit is real out here, man. You feel what I'm saying? You a target And this is a dangerous profession because we can't afford the security. You feel what I'm saying? We can't afford all that extra shit these superstars can get. They ain't roping off the whole side of the club when we walk through, like they did for Jay-Z and Beyonce and Jeezy the other night when I was in Rain. You had to be a fucking sniper to touch one of them because you weren't finna walk up on them. You know what I'm saying? You weren't finna walk up on them. You weren't finna walk up on them. You had to shoot from a distance. You had to be a good aim. Long-range pistol or a rifle to kill one of them that night because they are superstars. They targets, but it ain't so easy. You feel what I'm saying? Understand that. That's all I'm saying.
Right, and I know you're getting ready to go, Blizzard, but I wanted to also mention one other thing, too. There was actually an R&B singer that got shot and killed, and I can't think of the chick's name right now, but she was actually an artist from Life Jennings camp. This happened a few years ago up in Indianapolis. She got her and her boyfriend at the time, who was a producer by the name of Kool-Aid, got shot and killed at the studio. But it was an up-and-coming R&B female singer. I think her last name was Brown. It started with the letter K. Her name started with the letter K, but she was Life Jennings' artist. And I don't know if I should mention the television show's name or whatever, but this show on cable is well known for showcasing a lot of these up-and-coming talent artists that have got shot and killed. And they talk about how these artists got shot and murdered and all that and how some of these cases became cold cases. It's on cable. I'm not sure if I should mention the name of the show or the network. I don't know if I'm authorized to do that. It's actually TV1 Celebrity Crime Files. Some of the artists that you mentioned have been profiled in that particular on that particular television show, but there was actually a female R&B singer that got shot and killed though.
Okay, well,
and it happened to be with Life Jennings' artist at the
time. Okay, well, I thank you for calling in, homie. I really appreciate it. Glad you finally got a chance to call over and check in with me over here at K100 Radio, man. I really appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? That's what's up, man. That's been a long time coming. We gotta set aside some time for you to really come and have a longer discussion, and we could really sit over here and chop it up live on the air, let the people hear what's going on.
Absolutely, you know who I am, so I definitely will hit you up on Facebook.
Yeah, hit me up about that, and we can set that up, homie. I really appreciate the support, all right?
All right, no problem. Peace.
All right, I think I had one more person that wanted to talk, and I'll go ahead and take their call before we get up out of here. I don't know the 843 number. They never did press the number one, so I'll just go to this 404-855 number. 404-855, what's poppin'? Welcome to K100.
Microphone check. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's happening?
Yeah, this is your boy, Mr. World Famous.
Yes, it is. Mr. World Famous, thank you for calling in, sir. 662-347. I won't end the show before I talk to you also. We may run 5 or 10 minutes over. We'll make sure we get everybody that called in to engage into the discussion. So, and I tweeted you today. I don't know if you got a chance to read the blog, Mr. World Famous, but that's what we're talking about. My blog I wrote today called Rap Kills, and we're talking about the profession of being a rapper. That it's a dangerous profession, just like firemen, cops, soldiers. Being a rapper is dangerous, and that's what we're discussing. Do you feel that way?
Yes, I do. I think the main thing is, I want the other part of the come on is basically a lot of them actually bring it on themselves by the lifestyle they choose, what they choose to glorify, because not all rap is that way. But so those who choose to glorify and they come back on it, because once again, with the egos, we are a challenge. I see a lot more of it becoming dangerous to those who basically promote certain types of lifestyle. It's more dangerous for them. So my attitude is, we know what real gangsters are. Bottom line is this, it's true what you're saying and stuff, but these rappers, you don't understand, they are also bringing it on themselves. You need to be a lot more careful about what they say and why they're saying it.
Yeah, and I again, that was part of the – if you hear someone saying – if you listen on the internet and you hear the 90-second tick down, that's basically saying that my switchboard is going to be off in 90 seconds. But don't worry, we still got the people on the phone lines. If you do want to talk, however – you do need to call before my switchboard ends, which is technically supposed to the switchboard is supposed to stop at 10 p.m. But the live I want to. So you got about 60 seconds to call in 347-934-0966 and get on the switchboard. And as long as you actually call in before the 10 o'clock deadline, I'll still be able to answer your call. You just won't be able to call into the switchboard after 10 p.m. because I only scheduled the show from 9 to 11. But if you call right now, 347-934-0966. Call right now, and I'll still be able to take your phone calls. Just got about a minute left. So 347-934-0966, and I'll be able to take your calls. Of course, K100 Radio never goes off air. That's just the switchboard to call in for this particular discussion. If need be, I can also open up the other phone lines, and you still can always call into the show. I can give you the other phone number. You can call in at 678-619-1362. That's the other alternate number. In case the switchboard does cut off, you can call at 678-619-1362. All right? So 678-619-1362, that's another number that you can also call in even after the switchboard goes off. I just opened up the switchboard so we can take multiple calls at once. All right, so Mr. World Famous, back to what you were saying. I understand what you were saying totally. I get that. I dig that, right? But what yes. I was earlier that's true. What you say as a rapper, it does have some effect or whatever. You know, if you talk that gangster talk, now you're going to have to walk that gangster walk. I'm not arguing that point. What I'm saying is it doesn't even really matter if you do or don't, because we have so many examples of rappers who were not gangster rappers who still got killed. You feel me?
True.
Thing is, it doesn't necessarily matter to me. Jam Master J, Big L, Scott LaRock, these cats right here, you know what I'm saying, were not gangster rappers. They were not about that life. They never promoted that life, and they still died violently. You know what I'm saying?
True, so very true.
I would say that even it doesn't matter. It's just being a rapper, period, because what I'm trying to get people to understand is the discussion that I want to make sure I get crystal clear. The point I want to get crystal clear before I end is you don't have to be a megastar to become a target. When you're a rapper, the thing that it's an aura that surrounds the person that's rapping. And it's jealousy. It sees some kind of thing in people in the hood, you know what I'm saying? When you're just from the hood, but yet you're not a star, but yet you got chicks in the front screaming like, oh, easy, you know what I'm saying? Certain people see that and they feel a type of way. You know what I'm saying? And it just makes you a target. You know what I'm saying? Now, don't get me wrong.
True.
You got all the money. You up there flashing all your money on scene. You setting yourself up not only for the jealous people, but you setting yourself up for the real live robbing crews who do that for what they do.
Yeah, true.
You letting them know, homie, or you got it. Word? We'll be there in a minute. Wait till you leave. You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about you also incite the jealousy of the average guy who wish he could have done it, who didn't pursue anything. You know what I'm saying? He's still living with his mama at 28. You feel what I'm saying? And he's still a dope boy, but he's still serving ounces. He ain't even graduated to a quarter brick yet. This nigga, he mad. Okay? He mad, homie. And he ain't got nothing to do. And he ain't got nothing to live. And he mad. Okay? These are the people I'm talking about. These are the problems that the low-level, local celebrity artists and the independent artists that have to go out into these clubs and these hood clubs and venues, and they have to understand that, homie, it can go down. As a rapper, you have to go to studios where everybody's strapped. You have to go to these hood clubs where security is letting niggas in strapped. And at the end of the day, you have a dangerous occupation, because just like a fireman got to run into a damn house that's burning down, just like a cop has to go. When they call and say shots fired, the cop don't go the other way. He go to where the shots fired is at. He ain't running that way. He run to the gunman. You as an artist got to go to the club. You as an artist have to go to the studio, to all these situations where guns, violent, and motherfuckers with problems and attitudes associate. That's my point.
That is true.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I point.
Yeah, because, I mean, with the Big L's and Jam Master J, I mean, that makes your point valid. I agree with you. I didn't think of it that way, but you're 100% right on that, and I agree with you on that.
Yes, and that's all I want to give people. I just want people to understand that this whole segment is not to argue about what does rap lyrics have anything to do with violence. Okay, fine. I've had this discussion a gazillion times. You know, Mr. World Famous, I've had that discussion a gazillion times. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But I'm just, that's not what I'm on tonight. What I'm on tonight is I want you to understand that this is a dangerous job. When you decide you want to be a rapper, homie, you signing up for a dangerous job. It's like you signing up for the military, damn near.
Oh, yeah.
You are signing up for a dangerous gig, homie. When you want to be in the entertainment industry on certain levels, like the promoter keeps telling me, homie, it's not just you, it's us too. We got a dangerous job. You're right. I'm not disagreeing, but I just think rapper's job is dangerous. More dangerous, I mean. So I'm thinking it's one other call. I thank you for calling in.
All righty.
So give you information out, man, in case somebody wants to get with you.
Yeah, well, I am Mr. World Famous, and the best way to follow me is on Twitter, at Mr. World Famous, or, of course, on Facebook.com/Mr. World Famous. So that's the best way to get in contact with me. I basically do artist development, consultations, music and video production. We'll go from there. At Mr. World Famous, catch me there. We'll go from there. Much love to K100 Radio. I got your back, Blizzum. Mad support, mad love for what you're doing. Appreciate it.
Oh, you know what? One more before I get to 662, Mr. World Famous. I got to ask your position. I asked Jay Lynn about this earlier, and someone brought it up on my post. This goes to the labels. Someone said on my post, well, the labels should, you know, provide security for the artists. And I was trying to explain to them, if you learn about the industry, whatever a label gives you in the beginning, you're going to pay it back. So I said, if a label provides you security, you feel me, they got to recoup that. They just going to put that as part of the budget, and you're going to pay it back on the back end. And so they was like, oh, well, that's how. I was like, yeah. So what I want to ask your opinion, because Jay Lynn said that she kind of, you know, was like, you know, you need to hold the venues accountable. And she was like, put it in your rider for your event, for your venue and everything. And I'm like, cool. But my whole thing is, if I'm an artist, I'm not leaving that shit up to the speaker. This is my life out here.
Oh, yeah.
Period. But what do you think? How much involvement do you think the label should have in protecting these artists? Cause, and not this don't even count for the artists who ain't signed. You know what I'm saying? But, you know.
What it comes down to is how much the label values the artist. The label really know that that's their meal ticket. They're going to go do as much as possible to protect their meal ticket. If they ain't really doing much to protect their meal ticket, then you probably ain't much of a meal ticket. So it is best you take measures upon yourself to basically put your own personal security. Because for them, it's a, you know, just me speaking generally, it's a business. You know, it's because, number one, you know, you can rap and you can be replaced. Unless you are like Michael Jackson, et cetera, et cetera. So to me, yeah, you're right. I think the artists should take it among themselves to make sure that they're protected, they're secure, quote unquote. At the same time, unless that label sees them as a great meal ticket and go out their own way to basically provide security, and like you said, because if you tell them to do it, they're going to definitely recoup it, definitely. But if they take it upon themselves to do so because they're protecting their investment, then it's kind of a win-win. But bottom line is, yo, you got to learn how to put your dukes up. When you can't get in a club with no gun, you got to know how to put your dukes up and do so, because like I said, I wouldn't depend on the label.
The world famous, you can be the best. I ain't never seen the best. I know some thugs or some people that will whoop your ass, and I ain't never seen now one on whoop a gun. Now time. The point with that is, you can be the baddest badass ever, but if security's letting their homeboy in the club for $100 extra to skip the pat down, you still fuck when it pop off.
That's right.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's all I got clear. All right, man. Thanks for calling into the program, all right?
No problem.
All right, one more, and we're going to get back to the music, ladies and gentlemen. 662-374, welcome to K100 Radio. What's popping?
Hey, I've been listening to you, and I don't agree with nothing you're talking about, man.
Well, that's absolutely 100% your stance. But tell me what you.
Nah, it's Kelby, bro. Nah, you know what? Real talk though, right? You compare it to like a firefighter, police officer, and all that, right?
Right.
But this is it. Like the job isn't intrinsically, like it ain't the job that's dangerous. It's the work conditions. Firefighter's dangerous because you got to go deal with fires. Police officer dangerous because you got to go out and run into dangerous situations, criminals,
right,
and violence.
Uh-huh.
So, but, and I think with the rap is dangerous because the, like, you got to deal with niggas. So niggas is as dangerous as fire. So I think that's what it comes down to.
Uh-huh.
And so it ain't even with rap. So any job or any profession where you got to deal with that type of element, like, just like you said, the club promoters. Like, I know people, close friends, like, promoters that have been following home, all kind of crazy stuff. You feel
uh-huh.
me? Just
right,
because,
right.
And they ain't even flossy like that. Like, and I know, plenty of promoters, they downplay who they are and what they do because they got to avoid that. Even though that's how they make a living, that's their job, but they don't come in there and, you know, this is just like throwing it up in people's face. But people,
uh-huh.
it's just like that's that element that you got to deal with. So even like what we were talking about earlier, like, bro, like, you know, I go out to certain events. It's like certain events I don't even go to no more because like, I already know what that element is.
Right, right.
It wasn't going to be there.
But the, but see, that's because what you do, Kelby, is Kelby, this is Kelby Caddick. He's the owner of owner and publisher, editor-in-chief at Making It Magazine. He's one of our affiliates. If you want to know more about him, hit up www.makingitmagazine.com. Some of the blogs and stuff that I've written and great blogs that he's written and write-ups and articles you can find over there. Continued discussions about hip-hop and hip-hop culture and music and everything. You know, if you're an artist, you really need to get with him. If you don't, if you can't remember that, but you are plugged in with us, of course, on chainlessentertainment.com. Click the affiliates tab, but you can get directly to him. It's really easy to hook up with Kelby Caddick via Chainless Entertainment if you've been rocking with K100, because he's one of our affiliates and one of our close, one of my people I can say now at this particular point is actually a friend in the industry. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? You don't get a chance to say that often. But your position allows Kelby for you to opt out. You don't have to be there. The rappers, if they want to blow, it's like part of the grind that you got to go to these places. If that's the hot, you say you don't want to go to that, but if that's the hottest open mic, or that's the hottest showcase, or if that's where it's popping and you need to be seen and you want to get maximum impact to further your career, you need to be there. And you don't necessarily, it's not as just easy for you to opt out as the rapper. You feel
me?
Oh, no,
I know. And, like, I'm at the point where, see, this is the thing, like, I'm in a situation where I'm doing some consulting work to where with the, I'm damn near on some more on the management level. So now I gotta go out and be everywhere and gotta, you know, take people around and stuff like that. So with this particular client that I'm working with. So I was like, so that's why I was like, when I was talking earlier, like, just looking at this shit, I really sitting up thinking like, man, do I really want to go back out here? Like, that was one of the reasons, honestly, why I stopped. Like, when I, because, you know, I used to do music. So, and right. I was making money doing music, but it was just like, you know, like, when I would do music, like, I made money. So I wasn't out when I was at the club. I'm on the clock. So I wasn't drinking. I ain't smoking. I'm out here to make some money. So, like, but when you sober at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, you really start looking at the situation like, what the hell am I doing? Like,
wife, two kids, three kids at that time. I have many kids at the time. I need to be here. Is my life insurance on deck, nigga? Last time I paid that premium, nigga, shit's real. You laugh, but it's funny because I've done it, dog, recently. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought about, you know, when niggas got to fighting over there right next to me over at the record pool, you feel me? Right there by me, and I'm like, you know what I'm saying? First of all, I'm like, nigga, watch the gear. Watch the setup. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You bump that banner over that $400 banner, nigga, we going to fight, and I might die tonight. You know what I'm saying? You took my fucking $400 worth of gear, I'm going to fight, nigga. We going to fight out there. Now I got to get into it. I ain't come for this shit. You laughing, but you know I was thinking the same shit. I ain't know me. I ain't with it.
It's real talk because we love what we do, and we love helping people and working and doing this stuff. But then it's like, it'd be like the same people that you out here to help be the same people that's the problem.
Right.
You set up a beautiful situation just for them to fuck it up.
Yeah.
And I talked to plenty of promoters who put on, like, you put on these shows for your people, for the city, and then you do shows with certain artists, and, you know, it's just that element. And because, like, that's why I say, at the end of the day, it ain't everybody. It's like a small percentage of people. But it's because the larger percentage of us don't hold them accountable. We just ride with that shit like it's okay.
Right. Well, how do you hold them accountable, Kelby, before we get up out of here? What's the fix? You know, we ain't talking about the Jay-Z's. They got the fix. It's called money. And it's called, nigga, you touch me, you want that 6'8 nigga over there to fold you to a ball and bounce your ass out of there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
4'6'8. You ain't going to
like,
make it. We don't have the option. What do we do?
Like, I mean, it ain't even like on the artist tip, like what we were talking about earlier when we was on the post. Just like a nigga tucking his chain in the club and like, that's some fuck shit. You a fuck boy. Like nah, like, if you know that's the environment that you in, nigga, don't be walking around looking like bait. Like, don't be the worm on the hook.
But see, this is the thing, And like, and here's the part where people are going to say, see, it is about the lyricsism, because at that point, you can't get on stage talking about how much your chain swinging, and you know what I'm saying, how you hopping out of foreign cars and you ain't scared of a nigga, and you just tuck your chain in. You can't do it. You might as well don't even know then, or leave the chain at home.
Yeah. Whatever. But no, that ain't even just for the artist, though. That's just in general the way we think.
Yeah, but at this point, you ain't got to necessarily have a chain to rap about a chain. You could just leave it at home.
Nah.
You got to have a foreign car. About jumping out foreign whips.
Like, these niggas be talking about, oh, God, we don't want to talk about the woke up in the new Bugatti shit. Like with these Aston Martin rappers. That's Aston Martin. Like, they just rap about luxury cars and hop on the bus.
Right. So that's a whole new blog and a whole nother show. But thank you for calling in, man. I'm going to go ahead and end it. I got to get up out of here, man. But thanks for calling in. Tell the people how to hook up with Making the Magazine, which you need to do and you need to know. Go ahead.
No, if they want to hook up with me, they just go to chainlessentertainer.com and go to the affiliates and check me out and check out all the other good people that you're networking with, because it's all family.
All right. That's what's up, man. I appreciate it. Well, thanks for calling in, homie. I'm glad you hung around with me for a minute. I'm getting ready. That's my alarm right there. Now I really got to go. All right. Thanks for calling. Hold on. I got to get up out of here. Thanks for calling in, homie. You know, a big supporter of Making the Magazine, man. Appreciate you hanging out with me for a minute. All right?
All right.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and end it there, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, everybody, for tuning into the show. I wish I had time, because I think there are people tweeting me and hitting me up. By the way, I had someone on Twitter. Shouts out to DJ Deftone. He said that the person that Sean Garvey was talking about from Beat Break Radio, the guy that called in before, before Mr. World Famous, he said there was an artist named Lala Brown from Milwaukee that got shot in the studio. She was on the song X with she was on the song SEX with Life. So that's the person that he was talking about, the R&B artist. He couldn't remember her name. Shouts out to my Twitter people listening in and checking in on Twitter, giving me the answers to all these questions. Shouts out to DJ Deftone. Shouts out to Al Barton. Shouts out to Jay Lynn. Shouts out to G-Wiz. Shouts out to Kelby. Shouts out to Mr. World Famous. Sad Wines. Biz the Truth. Everybody that called in tonight, man, if I forgot your name right quick, it's just because I'm in a rush and I can't think about it. But everybody that called in tonight, man, and made this a great discussion. Great, great, great discussion. Everybody that listened in on the internet, man, really appreciate it. All I want to leave you with is, you know, it's not a game, first of all. You feel me? This is the music industry. This is the music business. But like in many other businesses, you know, law enforcement is a business and it's dangerous. You know what I'm saying? You know, so this is a business at the end of the day, but make no mistake about it, it's a dangerous business. And being a rapper is just simply one of those things where, you know, it can go down, man. You feel me? So like I said in the blog, and the closing words that I left you with in the blog was, you know, watch your front and your back. You know what I'm saying? Because this shit is real out here. You know what I'm saying? Because rap kills. Being a rapper, you can die, and it doesn't care about your dreams, your kids, your fans, or your grind. www.chainlessentertainment.com. Make sure you go and check out our blog. It says the No Chaser blog. Make sure you go over there at chainlessentertainment.com. I got a whole bunch of them, man. I got a whole bunch of great blogs. You know, if this is the first time you've encountered K100 Radio, or if you've never read any of my other blogs, I got a ton of them over there, man. Some great ones. You feel me? Make sure you check out makingthemagazine.com. I got a couple of blogs that were featured over there at makingthemagazine.com. So make sure you go over there and check that out. And Kelby has a couple of great articles that you can actually read about. But, you know, we've got a lot of great – just go to the No Chaser blog tab, and they're all in the front page. And then just click on the title of one of them, and you can go to it and read it. Leave a comment. Leave a comment, man. Let me know what you think, because, you know, that matters. You know what I'm saying? The more comments, or the more people talk about something and comment something, that makes me decide whether or not I want to bring it to the airwaves and talk about it. Nobody comments on it, and I'm like, eh. I mean, people may read it, but they're like, eh, they don't say anything. I'm like, well, there's no use in wasting a two-hour show on that. You know what I'm saying? So comment on something, or you feel I should actually bring that particular topic to the airwaves, let me know. I'm start, you know, doing these discussions at least once a week, talking about some stuff in hip-hop. R.I.P. to Dobie. R.I.P. to Waka Flocka's little brother, K.O. Red. He died yesterday, and just the details are sketchy, but condolences to Miss Deborah Atney, everybody over there at B100 Radio. Condolences to them. Condolences to Waka Flocka, man. You know, it's tough to lose a brother. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? I almost lost my brother this year. Just almost losing him was tough for me. So I can't imagine what it was like for him to have to get that call, man. So R.I.P. To K.O. Red, man. You know what I'm saying? A young man, however way he passed. Again, R.I.P. to Dobie, who had a daughter. R.I.P. to the young lady who was killed, who was just there celebrating her birthday, man. The shit got to stop. period. You know what I'm saying? But just understand that this is hip-hop, and hip-hop is dangerous, all right? Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show, www.chainlinksentertainment.com. And with that, I'll leave you with some real live hip-hop. Deuces!
Are now tuned into K-100 Radio, hip-hop and R&B.
This shit special. This shit special. DJ Khaled.
And if I cried two tears for her, that would be the most that I would give to her. She left me stranded in my nightmares, taking pictures of my memories, she right there. Twisting on the blade in my heart deep, always on my mind so I can't sleep. She used to tell me she was all mine, now the only way I see the broad is online. I'm doing drugs trying to feel you, I'm killing me trying to kill you. I built my whole life around you. I thought I found it all when I found her. Shopping sprees on whatever coast. How'd you really feel, I may never know. And as I ride through these streets with my hand on my heat, eyes red from the sweet side. Realize some things never change once in love and it's gone. You don't look at it the same, man. Fuck love, cause she don't live here. I'm soaked in blood, but I'm still here. Hip-hop, heartbreak, straight lace, deep bass, 808 plus the mixtape. Got a nigga feeling like an open lecture. Get away, now you're all in the lecture. Being studied by the college's professor. Now I regret the day I met ya. I'll be the first one to say it. She ain't the one you wanna play with. I'll fuck hip-hop.
And if I cry two tears for her, that will be the most that I can give to her. I am Joseph Darryl Jason, Dr. Dre, O'Shea, and a host of those who passed away today. I'm Drake, I'm Wayne 2 Chainz. You say you wanna rap to this bitch, you must commit. Then you're a slave to your grave. You won't get out, you cannot quit. She menstruates weekly. Her vibe covers keep you warm, but the source to her heart is love. Word up, right on, you know how girls are. She love when you licking on her world star, kissing on her belly, trick on her and onyx. Confused fans think that she illuminates demonic, but she's the object of my affection. God's essence, God bless her. She bought me Bentleys, Breitlands, made some friends resent me for writing about my life. They thought I should have stayed quiet. She took me to places I would have never saw without her, and she took me from my girl Powder. I doubt I'll ever be the same. Hollow be thy name. Give me strength so I don't do the same. Like a rental James, bad warn me. While driving this all-born Ferrari, never following her games. I fuck around and I'll be sorry, but I try to use the rider. For dollars, not the fame. She slowed me down and had me guzzling on cups of lane. She's a middle-aged cougar, showing youngins the dream. Notice she wasn't breathing for a second, then I screamed, she's dead. And everybody took it out on that. I was just looking out for my music family. Wasn't trying to claim her to myself. She's yours. You can have her. She's a motherfucking whore. I fuck hip hop.
And if I cry 2 years for her, that would be the most that I would give to her. She ain't the one you wanna play with.
You say you wanna rap to this bitch, you must commit. And if I cry 2 tears for her, that will be the most that I can give to her. I fuck hip hop.
Mastermind, we're gonna get this trouble. You know, whenever we link up. They could be something out of space or something. Let's get this money. Woo! Mastermind. ROC. Double MG. Jay, I got it. Four stacks for the hills. I'm a beat. Car seat still smelling like 10 keys. Tell a plug that I'm looking for an increase. Woo! Wingside fat boy, need a 10 piece. Say I say a name in the car star. Switching lane to lane like Walmart. Sipping Bordeaux, out in Bordeaux. Has the lights flashing on the Bordeaux.
switch the Benzo for the Enzo, back to the Benzo and the Enzo. Switch the old bro from a new dude, come a new dude, something like a something like a something like a. They think the game wrong when I came in it. Getting money, I'ma put the game in it. You couldn't stop me if you tried, motherfucker, cause the devil is alive. Rich, rich, talking, big, double cup, go rich. Double up on that blow, on the blow. 2 mil on that I-95. Bow your head, cause it's time to pay tax. Competition want me dead or alive. Mother, mother, but the devil is alive. The devil is alive. Come the truth. The devil is alive, Lord. Come the truth. The devil is alive. The devil is alive. The devil is alive. 2 Kings on the big screen. Preach. Seen it 36 at 16. 100K for the 16. Sick dirty, but it's pretty clean. My money going on the deep end. Talk a half a million for the weekend. Contract like a play defense. Curry's in the Maybach, that peeking. Not a matter for the car hop. 6 trips for the cars in the car lot. Got that. Go boys on the coast. Win gold 6 times for a gold, nigga. Black water when the bed, club all money when the cash is. Dubai, I can do it like a sheep. Top blow, Virgin Galee. Big whip. Rich, bitch, talking, big. Double cup, go rich. Double up on the blow, on the blow. 2 mil on that I-95. Bow your head, cause it's time to pay tax. Opposition want me dead or alive. Mother, but the devil is alive. The devil is alive. The devil is alive. Come the truth. The devil is alive.
I got a record.
The devil is alive.
Come alive.
The devil is alive.
Atheist, I never fuck with your religion. In my town with the devil, come on, root, come on, missing. It's that Lucifer juice, been that juke, I be sipping that Tuesday, baby. Welcome to the dark side. Could've got blacklist, but it white Jesus in my crock pot. Mixed with some soda. Now I'm black Jesus, turned water to wine, and all I had to do was turn it sober. East Coast, winning that life. Cheat code, hating is flinging, hit your free throw. The devil try to hit me with the Rico, them black people. Devil want these niggas to take their own kind. Gotta be the Illuminati, you put your shine. Boy, can't be enough, boy, gotta be the devil, that's it. You seen what I did to the stop and frisk. Brooklyn on their bodies like we on the count. Get the money to the hood, now we all win. Got that Barney floor looking like a B.I.M. Black hoodie, black Scully. Bravado like Mavado, boy, I'm that gully. Getting white money, but I'm still black. All these bullies claiming king, but I'm still black. King over, Mansa, Musa. Come a lot of devil with a lie, I'm the truth, yeah.
Big whip. Rich, talking, big, double cup, go rich. Woo.